You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
I'm in there.
All right, Friday, September 8th, 2017, in the Fakeologist Audio Chat Discord, I have snared the highly esteemed John Adams of the Hoaxbusters called afternoon commute combination 1-2 punch. Hey, John.
How's it going?
Going well, sir.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
I listen to you more than my wife. You're in my ear all the time.
Oh, wow. That's...
You have so much content. I don't post every single talk of yours because then it would become the Hoaxbuster blog over at Fakeologist. So I try and only post your very best of that. It tickles my fanny.
I know. You've been posting them for years. I appreciate that. And, I know that you only post stuff that you like. If you don't post something of mine, I don't take offense. So,
but I do actually listen to all, I think I listen to all of it, and yeah. It's getting harder and harder because you're putting out a lot of content. And of course, Chris has that 3-hour marathon that I have to wade through. Some of the callers are not easy to, hear and or understand,
sure.
But I wanted to drag you over here because I just had a few comments and maybe could answer a few questions from a real world user of solar panels. I'm just finishing my first summer of solar panels.
Okay, cool.
And I could maybe answer some questions. I know enough to see them, touch them, feel them. And I also would like to maybe comment on smart meters because that's one conspiracy that I never got. Almost like chemtrails, and I really don't understand what the problem is with them. And the people that do believe that there's something insidious about them, there's nothing, it seems, that I can say that makes sense to them.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm always open to, like you said you thought that we had some information that was wrong, and
it was more the caller. He had a caller that kept saying stuff that I wanted to talk back to him through the radio, but of course, even if he was on the radio, he did the show hours or days before, so he couldn't hear me anyway. So that's one of those funny things. You know, in the old days, you used to listen to radio shows, and you might actually be able to pick up the phone and yell at them if they were still on the air, but of course, now that's all irrelevant stuff. But I put on solar panels this year mainly because I am just so aggravated by our hydro situation here, our power company, that I almost wanted to do it just to get back at them, even though, of course, my little off-the-grid gesture means nothing to a monolith. I'm an ant on a massive anthill that could be snuffed out at any time. I went ahead, and the numbers actually don't make a lot of sense to do it. But the numbers in the last year have, they're getting better every year, at least where I live.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and did it. So a good part of my roof is now covered in them.
Uh-huh.
And I know that one of the callers who was interchanging with you on the actual hardware that's on the side of the house, I could take a picture of it. He was talking about noises or... He thought there was just some awful thing coming off the box that was slowly cooking and killing you. And
I don't know.
I know what he was talking about.
Okay. I can't confirm. He was talking about the box. I can see my neighbor's house across the street, and they've got solar panels.
Oh.
A lot of people in my neighborhood do. You see them all over here. But like I was saying, California's pretty ahead on getting people with the solar panel scam. And I'm not saying that you've been scammed, or I'm not saying that anybody who puts solar panels on their house has necessarily been scammed. But the scam is here, is that you get a tax break, allegedly, to get the solar panels on. And allegedly, it's going to reduce your, your bill and your energy usage, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what is the exact part that you think is a scam?
Well, I worked with somebody. They said they haven't seen a difference in their bill particularly.
Yeah. The other problem is we have to really get down to the details. The devil's in the details. So there's so many different ways to get solar panels. Well, the main thing is, yes.
I was just going to say one more thing is, if you're doing this, like, because there are people out there who really believe in doing things to help the earth. They think they're going to drive electric cars and they're helping the earth. So they really do believe this. And solar panels are kind of sold as that kind of thing. But people don't think about, like, another thing that's big out here in California is, like, at least it was a couple of years ago and it kind of died off, was you were going to get a whole bunch of stuff in your house that was green, like have green furniture and, green curtains, all that type of stuff.
I drink a green drink.
Exactly.
I make it myself, too.
Right. So, it's all about being green. But you'd probably be better off just not buying stuff if you really wanted to help the earth. And so it's like you're going to pay all this money for these solar panels, and it's just more. I'm saying if you're coming at it from that perspective of, you're going to save the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not knocking anybody for having them.
But how many people do you think are trying to save the world? See, I'm trying to save my wallet. I don't care about the big picture because I think I'm quite insignificant in the big picture. So I'm not really ever thinking about that. And I dare say I really don't think that many people are worried about saving the world. They're really just trying to save their own ass in this world.
Well, whether that's the case or not, I tend to find that people who, like yourself or myself or anybody within our circle of people who go on the websites and blogs, tend to not think about, you're not thinking about that. There are actually people out there who are, whether they're unfortunately acting in an idiotic fashion by doing that, by thinking that because they're going to, not use plastic bags, that it's going to have some sort of impact and that type of stuff. They're under the impression that green is good. And there's lots of people like that out here in California, maybe not so much where you are, but.
Oh, no, those people are everywhere. This is a worldwide, we have worldwide media. I think everyone could agree on that by now.
Yeah.
Whatever's in California, California tends to be or has been where it starts because
It's
been a very trend-setting place. Not that it's always going to be that way, but trends start in other places. I mean, yeah, California is its own country, essentially, and operates as such. So they have that flexibility. Size of Canada, I remind people that CA, they always get mixed up. It's hilarious because I live in Ontario, Canada. I know you guys are having trouble remembering where I lived. Not that you were looking for me, but Ontario is the biggest by population province in Canada. And there's also an Ontario, California in the Los Angeles area. And
one city over from me.
Yeah. So the abbreviation, I believe, for Ontario, California is Ontario, CA. And a lot of people abbreviate Canada, CA. And it's funny because I know a lot of trucks go from Ontario, California to Ontario, Canada. And I see on their trucks is Ontario, CA. So I never know, are they talking about Ontario and California or the province right where I live? So. It's a huge trucking route to Canada. Your fruit, it comes straight to us in 3 days. So we get your strawberries right away, probably before you do in a lot of cases because we pay more for them. But
there's strawberry fields forever over here.
Yeah, and incidentally, I think I've heard they're one of the worst fruits, but I like them. Anyhow, I'm actually a convert for solar. I'm a super skeptic when it comes to everything, including energy. And I believe energy is a big fraud business in most aspects because you can't see it. It's really hard to see. It's really hard to put your finger on something you can't see. And if you can't see something, you know someone's in that area fooling you. And I think electricity is a huge scam business when it comes to many things, including nuclear. But I can tell you, I've had a whole summer now of solar, and we haven't had a great summer this year. And ever since I put my solar panels up, I have not got a bill from my hydro company yet. Now, I don't know if it's because there's a mix-up, but I haven't received no bills because all the power that they create, I use it, and I give the excess to the hydro company. And right now, I have a small credit right now, which is why I'm pretty sure is the reason I haven't got a bill. I would like to see a bill to see if my numbers match theirs, but right now I don't have a bill. So it is real. Real power, I believe, is created. And if you have the wherewithal to put them on, or you have to have many things to make it work. You, number one, need a roof, and number two, need the capital to be able to buy them. And our government gives no money to help, which is amazing to me. Give nothing.
Yeah, that's funny.
Zero.
Hey, you know what? Keep talking. I have to go just for a quick second. I'll just mute myself, or you can mute me.
No, you can mute yourself. I'll stay muted myself. This is the audio chat, so the quiet spots are cut out. John Adams tending to most likely a diaper. Napoleon Wilson has dropped in. I think Napoleon leaves the stream open at all times. And that's how he knows that there is chatter today. Napoleon, unmute yourself at once.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. You are definitely a number one fakeologist fan. I thank you for your support.
You started all this, mate.
Is that true that do you leave the stream on so you can hear what's happening, or do you just watch the Discord chat?
No, I'm not as sad as that. I have it so it makes a bloop noise, and then they just tend to basically like John Adams. He is a wonderful baby noise. He knows the whimper. He knows all the signals. He knows exactly when to get up. And that's all I do.
I'm glad you got your microphone sorted out. Your microphone's great now. Did you do something different that you can share with the Fakeologist audio files?
I'm unsure. I'm none the wiser. Maybe it's just settled down, or I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I have slept on it a couple of times.
So nothing, you haven't changed any equipment?
I might have dropped the attenuation a little bit. I've not changed any equipment, though.
Hello?
John Adams is back.
I shall quietly mute and leave you gentlemen to speak.
John Adams, I had Napoleon Wilson drop in. He's he's a big fakeologist fan. He just filled some gaps while you were away. I know you're doing what a good dad does. Congratulations, of course.
Speaking of which, did you want to talk red pill fast? Because I might only have like 5 or 10 minutes here.
Okay, solar panels are done. But we'll, anytime you want to come back, you can. Yeah, red pill, okay. I always love documentaries. That's my favorite type of media. And I took the suggestion from the No Agenda show. As you know, I'm a big supporter and a big fan of the show to this day, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And I watched The Red Pill. I was going to post it on morab.fakeologist.com because I didn't think it's really a fakeologist subject, but I am interested in that kind of thing. And I thought the film started off very strongly, and then I thought it just degenerated into some personal problems of different men with their women, which I found didn't apply to me and most people I know, and I just thought it lost its focus really quickly, and I have to give it a thumbs down because of that.
Right. And yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, Chris and I talked about it, and like I said, it's like I was telling you. I didn't mention this on the call with Chris, but it's recommended on my Amazon to me, right?
Okay.
So it's pretty pretty big and pretty well known and kind of getting that idea out there. And like I said on the call, I agreed with 98% of the information, but they're taking something that's true and then they're going to steer you in the direction that they want you to go, which means you're going to go join a men's rights activist group or go to that website, and they're not going to give you the full story, which, you know, anybody who has been looking at quote-unquote truth or patriot websites as long as we have, as long as any of these listeners have, you know that you may disagree with something that Tim posts, or you may disagree with something that Pokesbusters posts or whatever, but at least there's open forum discussions about everything, and you're able to get out all the information. Whereas you go to what I would call a limited hangout like this movie is, they're not going to tell you about Miss Magazine being run by the CIA, Gloria Steinem being run by the CIA. It's kind of tiptoes around all of the real cultural, you know, the real cultural stuff, and we gave examples of that in our talk about this movie, about how those radical groups and all that stuff get funding from the Ford and Rockefeller foundations and from intelligence agencies. And it really has nothing to do, even if you believe in those causes, the people who fund those movements, they don't believe in your cause. They're using you as a cultural change agent.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really, well, I'm always suspicious of all these media outlets and how they're funded and whatnot. So that, yeah, I know you, sometimes I watch documentaries without my fakeologist glasses. So I was trying to take this in just as a non-fakeologist, actually, just from men's issues and men's perspective. But you're absolutely right that if you add that other layer of who's paying for all these media groups and these men's groups, how do these people make a living? So therefore, someone has to be sponsoring them to do what they do. And
I mean, if they're so bad and they're so evil and they're so aligned with white nationalists and all those type of groups, why is Amazon promoting it to me?
Right. Because yeah.
You know.
Yeah, actually, I have Amazon Prime. I've never watched a movie on it because I'm not sure where the button is. But I actually had to go to the great controlled torrent site, which I'm sure the movie industry actually controls, called the Pirate Bay, because I like my movies on my own device. So because I like to stop and start and not chew up all my bandwidth at 8 o'clock at night when everyone else is doing the same exact thing and killing the internet off. So I like to download stuff in the middle of the night and then just put it wherever I want and throw it out later. But so I had to actually find it. It was harder to find than one might think.
Yeah, I think the way we were kind of looking at it was more objectively and just not taking either sides, even though I may have my opinions about those particular issues.
Yes.
The way that it always works out in the mainstream media is they're going to use truth. They'll use the lies and they'll use the truth to get you to go where they want you to go. So, you know, it may be something, like I said, you may agree with. It's like, take something general that you could hear from the mainstream or the mainstream truth or media. Tim, wouldn't you agree that 9/11 is an inside job?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do.
Okay, well.
Do you still beat your wife?
That means that planes were real and the buildings were blown up by, a laser beam.
Yeah, it could mean that, yeah. It could mean that to, yeah, I know what you mean.
So that's how it kind of works itself out. It's like, oh, okay, so there's guys who, it's true that the court system screws over men. In these instances, that means the way you solve that is by joining a men's rights activist group and further divide yourself. Because, I mean, if you look at some of these shrill women in this movie who are out there, they're totally retarded. I feel bad for them. I don't hate them.
I think they're professional agitators.
I do too, but you could tell that some of them were very young who were like screaming this stuff. And I know I grew up with people like this who are hardcore left-wing liberals who will go to you know, anti-war rallies and things like this, and they've got tattoos on their neck and, you know, a whole bunch of punk rock patches all over their jackets and things like this. And they literally, there are professional agitators. There are people who are in the know. Obviously, the editor of Ms. Magazine that they interview, she's obviously in the know, or else she wouldn't be sitting in Beverly Hills office that they go to.
Mm. She was a very unlikable, angry woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And she sits up there on the throne while these people go out in the street. And she has to know at some level that this is all contrived and fake and going to get nowhere. And all it does is further divide people. So,
yeah.
Gentlemen, I have to go right now. So I'm getting a phone call that I have to take. So
okay. We'll come back anytime.
It's been a pleasure. Okay, guys.
Take care, John.
Talk to you later.
We'll be here if you come back. There goes John Adams of HoaxBustersCall.com.
Hello?
And the John Adams Afternoon Commute.
The wonders of modern technology, app.
John's getting a phone call. One of the problems with Discord is when a phone call comes in, Discord doesn't work well with phones. It's not smart to say to the other Discorders that it's on a phone call. TeamSpeak worked beautifully, but Discord doesn't, so...
Well, Discord was a godsend for me, mate, just to be able to come on and add me to Penathan listening now and again. So I am glad of Discord, and I remember the actual conversation when Dan mentioned it to you, and you actually said, what's Discord?
Yeah, well, you were there from the Genesis. Obviously, other people like it because Jaronism is using it, and odd flat earth people are using it. It's just really good. It's so easy. I'm on Jaronisms now. You can just click the button on the left and
thanks for the link, by the way. I went in earlier.
There's just too many places to look and interact. I can't go over there and hang out there because I can't even keep up with my own Discord server. It's just too much stuff, but it is a great platform.
It is. Well, like I say, I mean, I am, when we were jesting the other day about when you come in at the, just after the hour mark and say, this is Fake Aussies Radio. And we were jesting about it being like Pavlovian.
You always say that, yeah.
But there is an element of when I hear the beep or a message, whether it's somebody coming in chat or, you know, whatever it may be, I turn off every other tab I've got going. So I am pretty much, I must be Pavlov's dog.
Yeah. Well, I told you, the only reason is if you don't speak in a channel, it will throw you out.
Definitely.
Have you tried that? If you stay logged into a lobby or any audio channel, if you don't say anything, it throws you out, right?
I've never tried it, pal. But I have seen Kay in there for a number of hours, so it might not.
Yeah, maybe it's supposed to throw you out. I think. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. I know that if I didn't put that 1 hour noise, it would throw the streamer out, and then I'd be off the air. So it's they're trying to save resources, but on the other hand, how hard are they trying to save resources? Because they're going to be introducing video, and that is going to definitely put a huge strain on their network. Once you got moving pictures, you better multiply your bandwidth at least 10 times.
Definitely.
Good luck. I hope it doesn't kill the whole network.
Well, I think when push does come to shove, I'll have to pull my finger out, disappear for 3 or 4 weeks and get a proper connection. I might even have to get a couple of friends to come around and reinforce the wires because the connection I've got, it's so sketchy, my mate. I seem like such a novice. And yet I'm on the wavelength of Fakeology. For instance, did you see my little statement that I put in about you being the first one to speak to Mark Sargent?
Oh yeah, I've heard you guys talk about that before.
No, but I know why you were the first one.
Well, I was the first one to pick up the phone.
Yeah, but you not only that, you were the honest one. You see, there was probably people out there who knew about Mark Sargent. Remember, I don't think Mark Sargent's organic. I think that there's a certain number of people out there who already had the interviews of him in the can ready. And the time that it took from your interview to his, I think, 19th was, I think it was less than a month, which seems to be, yeah. So
I'm not as conspiratorial about all these guys. The only big question I'll ask over and over again is, how do they make a living? How do they eat?
That is a big factor in staying alive. You're right.
Who pay? It costs a lot of money to live. That's my number one question. How do you do what you do? And with Mark's a nice enough guy. And
I'm not calling anybody names up. I'm just mentioning how the system
I just
works.
Wonder how he can talk about nothing over week after week. And it's just odd to me. Really odd.
Well, I think the fact that you incorporate your daily routine into looking after all this information proves that you do need to at least two fiddles to your bow. So, you know, your fiddle, unfortunately, your second fiddle doesn't pay well, but you play it very well. So,
well, my other fiddle does pay pretty well, and it also wears me right out. And even when I want to do a show, I sometimes just have lost all my energy.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. I'm just too tired. And I don't go to bed early, so I don't want to get into a show. And
well, I was going to say this. I bet you go to bed at 9:11, don't you?
Yep, close to it.
Yep, not far off. You see, I wake up at 5:33. People have set patterns. You can work out who's organic and who's not organic just by the way they speak about the day and if they've had, you know, a bad week, a good week. You know, some people disappear. And to be that consistent, somebody's footing the bill. I agree.
Well, someone has to pay. I just want to know who's doing it, because you can't talk about nonsense forever and not have any source of income. I talk about nonsense here and there, but you can see I don't do it all that much.
No.
I don't do it all that much because I run out of time in the day, and I actually don't have a lot to say some days, so I'm not going to get on and just start talking nonsense about
And I think that's where you differ from a lot of people, mate. You won't go and speak nonsense. You'll introduce a topic which might interest you for a start, which I think is the main thing. And if something interests you, if someone's talking about something that's really interests them, now I can listen to it. And I think that's the attraction, especially with fakeologists.
Because I literally have nothing to say most of the time. I can't talk about the flat Earth, but I am getting way behind in talking about my blog, because I do have a lot of blogs, and I do like to, every blog post I make, I could talk about for a few minutes, but I'd rather talk about it with someone who wants to know what I'm talking about. So, for instance, if I make a post that's not clear, I wouldn't mind if someone said, what were you trying to get at anyway? I didn't understand that, but
people are shy. It's like karaoke. People don't want to ask questions and make themselves feel dumb, which I think is why I'm here, because I sound dumb anyway. I will ask questions all day. Because I want to know. I want to know, though, you know.
You don't have to put yourself down. It's okay. You're a good lad.
No, I don't mean putting myself down. I mean, you know, you don't need to spend 4 hours writing stuff out, working out word for word. For instance, there we go, a little discovery. I told John Adams, so I hope he goes into this, because he will elaborate on this. Brilliant. The film Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You ever seen it?
Long, long time ago.
Yeah, me too, mate. But I had an image in my head earlier.
It wasn't that good. I read the book before I saw the movie.
Well,
I used to read books.
Well, if you ever view the movie again, I'm not saying go and view it again, treat Willy Wonka as the Fabian Society. And the rest of the people coming into the factory is the countries during World War II. And you get a whole new look at the way the film's set out.
All right.
So that's just a little, neither will I, but we've already isolated a couple of little characters. Augustus Gloop seems like the Austrian who got too fat and ended up, you know, getting taken away. So that's Hitler for you. Then you've got Charlie, who seems to be the good old English lad. And Veruca Salt, I'm not sure whether she represents, this is Silverbeam, I said feminism, but he said no, she's wearing a red coat, so maybe it's communism. But anyway, there's an ism involved. But sometimes it's just nice to, like what John was saying earlier, just, you know, talk about different ideas, they throw things backwards and forwards.
Did you see the movie The Red Pill?
No, I've not seen it. I will watch it unless anyone beeps me on Fakeologist Discord chat. But no, I've not seen it. What's it called again?
It's called The Red Pill. It's a documentary about men's rights groups. They're labeled, I think they're labeled hate groups. Some of them are. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, saying that a lot of these people are controlled, you know, agitprops.
Well, a lot of the protesters are professional. The ones that go out and start screaming their brains out, they've got to be paid. Because again, how do they make a living?
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree there.
Well, it's just probably just the same as a welfare check. You know, it's just probably a bump up from a welfare check. I mean, I don't know what a welfare check's like in the northern parts of America and Canada, but over here you have to do stuff for it, prove you're looking for work. Beyond disability.
Yeah, I think you have to do that here still. You have to do that here too. That all came out in the 90s. The 90s, they switched it over to you have to do something.
Yeah.
They made it a little harder. They made it a little harder to do. But that's a distant memory for me. Nobody talks about that, so I couldn't tell you exactly. I'm not sure welfare is a huge problem here.
No, well, we have that old adage, don't we? You've got the upper class and the middle class there in the lower classes to keep the middle class scared, and I think the people on welfare are there to keep the ones who are earning low or who might get jettisoned from the system. You know, the welfare check is just to scare these people, so you know you're gonna make these people jump through hoops in order so they will say, oh, I've been on welfare and I can't get a job and I'm having to do this, I'm doing voluntary work. That's gonna make you stay in your menial job, innit? You're actually earning less than welfare. I don't know. There's lots of angles. I think.
Welfare it's easy to scare though. Well. You'd barely be able to eat on welfare here.
Yeah. Well, I barely don't eat anyway, and that's not because I'm greedy or anything like that. I'm a one meal person. I make a one good meal a day, and that's not expensive for a single person.
Right. But I wanted to talk about John Adams's later. John Adams' afternoon commute and the last Hoaxbusters call. I brought him over because there's a few things I thought they were just so wrong about a few topics. I just wanted to bring him over and try and straighten him out because I know he always likes to get the real information, and I had what I thought is real information.
Well, you see, I have listened to the last two audios that you talked about, but obviously they're very long. It would be hard to elaborate, especially if you were to get the answer from the horse's mouth. So I think you should save that information when you speak to John. But is there any bits that are isolated to someone else who was listening to the listener? Or maybe you can proposition me with what you heard?
Well, I was just talking about solar panels with him because they were way off on what they are. I'm pretty sure solar panels are going to make a huge difference in Africa.
I think they're viable.
India.
Definitely
viable.
Oh,
they work. They work. I don't know what danger they pose to the environment, because I know there's some nasty stuff in them, but I think, like everything else, they do way more good than harm, and I think they're going to revolutionize a lot of third world countries, which will only take away from first world countries. So when you get Africans generating their own power and Indians in cheap, poor areas, it's giving them electricity is going to be a big deal. It's a big deal. I think it's going to be a game changer. So I just think it's really important.
Definitely. The whether or not the installation of these things is proper or not, it's going to uplift the local communities and all these different areas. And yeah, it might settle things down a bit, because we do hear the stories about the rape and the war and the pillaging and all these different things and the famine. So if they found a way to utilize these third world countries for their own benefit, which is what basically we're all being used for, and it stops a few of these people dying, then why not? Give it a go. I don't think it's going to affect us.
Well, if there's nothing else, a solar panel in Africa can run a pump to pump water and clean water and run a system to clean the water.
Take
care of the sewage. It really... We're talking super basic functions for human survival. And who's against that? I'm not.
No, not at all.
I'm for that. So if without electricity, there's not a lot of things you can do, is my point. But
the water in Africa has always bothered me anyway, because surely it's like anywhere else on the planet. You drill down far enough, you hit water.
Yeah, but is it clean? And then what do you do with the sewage? If they don't take care of the sewage, then they have other problems. So solar panels are a really big deal, and I think they are they're a game changer. The wind, I'm not so big on, because wind is really variable, and I believe it costs more just to create the infrastructure to create a windmill, and I just don't think the power is reliable.
Yeah, I think most windmill technology, if the technology is isolated to the, you know, to the property that's being used on, it actually creates more energy. It's once it starts, you know, getting disseminated down pipes and stuff like that, it loses a lot of its, well, it loses a lot of energy being transported. So if things are isolated, like solar panels are to certain houses, then yeah,
it's good. The guy that put in my solar panels, he has put in smaller installations, maybe one or two panels, just to power something as simple as a gate on a parking lot. Because it's cheaper to put up a panel than to pay someone to dig a trench and run a wire or a cable to the gate.
Yeah.
So there's something pretty interesting right there.
Yeah, definitely. So it's an in-situ battery.
Yeah, well, you do need a panel with a battery. And actually, a lot of the signs on the highway, I've noticed, they have solar panels and a battery.
Well, it wouldn't have lasted long over here, because I think we've had probably 18 days of glorious sunshine since March. So, not ideal for Britain.
Well, as long as you have light, you can generate solar energy. It's all it is it's a photovoltaic cell. That's what a PVC solar panel is.
The amount of sunshine doesn't, it just needs to be a certain light.
It needs to be light. It's either dark or it's light. The light's either on or off. Now, the brighter the light, I think more power is generated. But you can generate some power, maybe as low as a trickle charge, when it's even in twilight or dusk. It's possible. I can tell you, because my panels are hooked up to a control panel, and I can see the power at any one time.
So you can see how much you're generating.
Instantly. I can tell you right now. The sun is going down here now, and I can tell you my system is generating quite a bit, actually. 3,000 watts it's generating right now. So much power is being created. Pretty good.
So is this, when did you get these installed?
I put them in at the beginning of the summer. I was really trying hard to make sure I got them in at the beginning of the summer.
Right, so you being the avid fakeologist, you're going to take note of what the power you're creating over the next few months, over the winter period as well.
Oh yeah, I have a smart meter. I have two smart meters.
Two, you show off.
I know. Well, they put them on. I wasn't sure why they wanted two, but now I know why.
One's because you're a fakeologist, and one's because you've got solar panels.
It's really just a backup, I think. They don't want to lose track of how much power is being created. So if one went down, you really need another just as a backup, I think. I think that's why they insisted on two. I had to pay for it, of course.
Yeah, obviously. So what's the year when they tell you you've paid for these panels? Is it a 3 or 4 year period?
No, I pay for them. The bank, bank gave them to me. I'm not leasing my roof. That is the sketchy deal, where someone else puts them on your roof.
Yeah. Well, when I was listening to the Hoaxbusters call the other day, when you were saying it was illegal to hook up your own solar panels,
I don't understand what the talk. I didn't know, that was another thing. I had no idea what they're talking about. That made no sense to me.
No, it didn't to me. It didn't to me either, actually.
I think.
But I don't know the legislation in America, so sorry.
Well, the way it works here, I'm sure it's the same everywhere, and that is, I'm connected to the grid. I use the power first. The wire goes into my house first. Anything I don't use,
you sell back to it.
Yes, goes back into the grid. And the only tricky thing that people might get confused about is if there's a power failure, is if the grid goes down, they cut the solar panels off completely. In other words, there's no way if my system
Bob, you're missing the biggest. You're a fakeologist. You missed that there. You are a cooling tower. Yeah, they're getting, you're getting intrigued. This is it. You're a cooling tower. You're not generating. I'm only joking, man. That was a joke.
No.
Just cause it goes off. And when there's a power cut, it cuts off.
I'm trying to tell you. When you generate power, electricity must go somewhere. I cannot generate power. And, if I don't use it, it has to go back into the ground. Now, you can't just shoot it into the dirt. It has to go somewhere. So my excess power goes back to the grid, and they count that. They don't pay me for it. They just credit me. They don't give me any money.
Is there a way of testing how much energy comes from these said lines that's going from... Once the power's gone into your house, it's been generated, it leaves via this line.
Yeah.
Could this line be hooked up to the mains? And when the mains goes off, the reason it's going off and your power goes off is because your house is being powered by that. I'm asking you as a fakeologist, is there a possibility there? Do you know what the cable is going backwards and forwards?
I'm not quite sure what you mean, but I wanted to finish explaining what I'm talking about here.
Sorry,
regarding power. So if the power in the grid goes off, then my inverter and the thing that turns the solar PVC power into alternating currents called an inverter. I think it's called an inverter. It's a solar inverter. It turns DC power into AC. If the grid goes down, then the inverter turns off because it doesn't want to take any of the power and use it. Because the problem is if they're trying to fix the power in the neighborhood because the grid's down for whatever reason, it could be as local as a squirrel knocking out the street. Or it could be the main line coming into the whole city. They don't want solar panels to be sending power into the wires when they're looking for the problem.
That makes sense.
So if the grid's down and not providing power and all these little solar panel systems are shooting power back down the line that they can't control, it could kill the guy working on the line. So the rule is that you must have a system that disconnects your system from the grid. And the system can't feed your house if it's not hooked up to the grid. Because if you don't use all the power, you have nowhere to put the excess power.
Yes. No, I understand where you're coming from.
I'm not an electrician, but I understand power enough to understand what's happening.
I was just being a bit too fakeology for the fakeologist. That's all.
I know. You're right. This is not a fakeologist conversation. But it's interesting to me because I'm interested in power and fake power, which, of course, is what I call nuclear power. I think that's fake.
I agree.
I think it's fake. There's no... The only way you can explain the nonsense that goes around the stories about nuclear power and plants is that it's fake. None of the stories have ever made sense ever since nuclear power has been pursued. None of the stories make any sense except if you understand that it's a giant fraud. That's the only way they make sense. Why else would they build a plant in Georgia, spend $9 billion, that there's the number nine, and then just say, you know what? We don't really want this anymore. Forget it. Let's just forget about it. Where have you ever heard of that? That's insane.
Only
where
with asbestos.
Spend $9 billion and just say, forget it. Yeah, that was a mistake. We don't really need the power. That is, somebody should be, 100 people should go to jail over that. That's such a huge fraud. You know, if I steal a loaf of bread, I go to jail. They're stealing $9 billion, and I don't even know if the number's true. That could be total horseshit.
I think the numbers totally aren't true. Yeah, the numbers aren't true. It's the influx of cash which keeps the economy moving. So the big boys are making money at the top end, and then just to make things, you know, laughable, they go, we don't need it anymore. So obviously it wasn't viable to start with. It was.
No, but I'm wondering, do they really steal $9 billion? Is that money actually gone? Was there money going in? Was it 9 billion or was it 9 million?
Well, it depends if someone's checking the books. If there's a double book system, is this 9 billion away just laundering money? Is money real at this top level? I don't think money's real at the top level anyway. I mean, you don't believe Tom Cruise gets 50 million for a film as much as I do. So, you know, these figures are thrown out. They're thrown out there and they stick. 6 million Jews, $3.26 trillion, September the 10th. 3,000, however many people died. The numbers stick. And you need a number up. You've got to throw a number out with it. You can't say, oh, we don't know what this power station cost. You need a number. Number cements things. You know, your big G. If you don't have a number next to big G, then still be people trying to contest it. But now the number's set in stone. It's literally set in stone. That's what you do. You write it down, it's done.
I see Silverbeam is in the live stream. If Silverbeam wants to open up his mic and chat, he's certainly welcome. If you're just a listener to the live stream, you can always go to Ecologist Radio 3 and just listen there. You can do that too.
Does the message come up? Silverbeam doesn't have a mic, unfortunately, at the moment.
Okay. Well, he's just a listener then. Very just good.
Just a lurker.
No,
just can say, so when the gentleman was talking about an increase in heat coming from the box, have you noticed that in your solar power supply?
There's no heat coming from the box. I got to touch the box because there's a button on it that gives the readout of the power.
Yeah.
So there's no heat coming off it. I don't know. I didn't know what he's... Yeah, so you did listen to it. Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
I listen to every Hoaxbusters and Afternoon Commute and everything the Fakeologist does.
Now, the solar panels are probably hot because roofs are hot. Have you ever touched your shingles in the summer?
Oh God, yeah.
120 degrees.
I played on roofs for about 2 years, putting in gutter in and things like that. And,
you could fry an egg on a roof, couldn't you?
You can indeed, pal. You can actually lose a good layer of skin if you sit down and there's a hole in your jeans.
Exactly. So the solar panels are probably super hot, and they have to have some way of cooling. Actually, the solar panels are cool because they create a layer of air in between the roof and themselves.
I've actually seen that on infrared. It's about a centimeter.
One of the reasons I put them on is you gotta decide if you're gonna stay in the house because you can't take them with you. You move. You gotta really. That's the other problem. They're a bit of an illiquid investment. You can't take it with you, but you have to make that decision. But they're pretty good. That if you put them on, they're basically covering your shingles, so you're not gonna ever have to do your shingles.
True. Hey, there you go. You can incorporate that over 10 or 15 years. That'll save you a few bit of money there.
Yeah. A few bucks.
Yeah. What have you looked at? I'm naive to solar power. Is the name of the company that you use? Is it got a funny name? Is it got a funny ring to it or anything like that?
The name of what company?
Your solar power company that you got in contact with, or did you go independent and just pick your ones on your own?
I just got a local installer. A one-man show. He couldn't do it himself. He had to hire a couple roofers, which is actually one of the most dangerous jobs. If you look in the compensation insurance classifications, they pay 30 cents on the dollar for insurance. That's how risky being a roofer is.
Well, I come from a family of steel erectors, my pal.
What do you call them? Steeler what?
Steel erectors. You know, the people who build skyscrapers.
Oh, God, I'd never do that. That's got to be super dangerous.
It's not anymore. And I got out of it at the wrong time. My father actually fell in the 80s doing it. But my two brothers, who've been doing it for, one of them's, well, they've been doing it 30 years and 40 years respectively. You don't climb anymore. Everything's cherry pickers.
You see the guys that were building the World Trade Center?
Yeah.
And I know they wear safety harnesses, but they're walking along those beams.
Oh, God, yeah.
Way up in the air. I'd go crazy. I don't think many people can do that.
No, it's not as scary as you think. You know, I mean, it depends how high up you are. yeah, sorry. It all depends on you. What's the word? If you're scared of heights. Say, the weird thing, I'm scared of heights in my dreams. In real life, I'm not. So there you go. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I am.
Oh. Yeah. Falling. But no, in the real world, like I say, with steel erectors, in the old days, they used to shimmy up a beam, you know, a H beam. So it's like a H from above. They'd get the feet on the inside of the beam, their arms on the other side, and they'd probably do 75 feet before they got to the steel. It was always the bottom bit that was, you know, put in last. Well, you could fabricate the bottom a lot easier once the steel was up. So there would be a large gap. But the introduction of air cherry pickers and cranes, I mean, if it's going to stop wives getting them letters or getting people at the door saying your husband's fell, and I'm directly behind all that. I really am, because I remember the
getting
day
back to the getting back to the installation, because sometimes we get sidetracked over what the original,
especially when you talk to me, man.
The guy put him on in a couple of days. Really nice guy, and if anyone's in the Toronto area, I'll recommend him. Very nice person. I think he's a bit of a Sherpa. He's from Nepal. I said, well, you're probably used to heights, so that was a good reason to get the guy on. But very interesting. Like I said, the numbers, it takes about 7 years to pay it off. You have to make sure you're staying for 7 years wherever you are. But I had other reasons not to want to sponsor the hydro or power company. I'd rather pay the bank than pay the power company.
So was this an easy way out for the power companies as well to actually, you know, to die down the nuclear power in certain areas?
No, because they don't encourage it. See, our government, our provincial government owns the power company.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Our government owns the power company. That was the whole point, because in order to get the electricity from what should be one of the seven wonders of the world, Niagara Falls, they needed to spend a ton of money to build the dam or the waterways to channel the water through turbines. And the idea was they were going to give everyone in this province the power it costs. That was the dream. And it worked for a long time, but then greedy people moved in and they wanted to, they just lost focus, and then they turned into just a massive bureaucracy and used to steal money. That's the only way I can call it. And I guess the Americans or whoever promotes nuclear power, I'm going to say it's the same old people, the City of London and
company.
Guys at the top, because we're talking insane amounts of money. They somehow got into Ontario. I'd love to know who did it on our end. And they turned us into one of their biggest victims of the scam back in the 60s and 70s. So
yeah, there was a lot of change. Yeah, there was a lot of change in Canada in that time as well.
Yeah.
So
it's not that big of a deal to put them up. And because they're made in China, I guess they take a lot of labor to make a panel. But the fact the Chinese are doing it keeps the cost down. So the price is pretty reasonable. Pretty reasonable. And if I lived anywhere where the sun is out all the time, anywhere south, it would be a no-brainer.
Hmm.
No-brainer to put them up. No-brainer.
So when the gentleman on Hoaxbusters was saying that eventually it's going to be like recycling, and they're going to end up saying it's cost-effective, you're going to have to start paying for these.
I had no idea what panels he was talking about, because the recycling thing, he was mixing all kinds of things up with that, too. I think recycling is a waste of time, just because, in my opinion, all garbage should just be burned and made energy from. I know they do it in Europe a lot more.
Yeah.
And we just built, right beside our nuclear power plant, one of the first incinerators in Ontario. And it's a large-scale incinerator. And guess what? They get power from it. It's hooked up to the grid because the nuke plant is right there. So all the hydro lines are right there. So it was no problem to hook it up.
That's a surprise,
and it's probably the only thing in the area making power. Because that's real power. And they burn it. So just the waste of time sorting your garbage. We have four trucks come to the house to pick up the garbage. It's crazy. Four different trucks come by. Now, how is that sensible? It's not sensible. It's stupid. Because a lot of the recycled stuff is useless. A lot of the plastics that they create is useless. There's no takers for it.
So no. A lot of it's toxic as well, and needs governments for sponsoring to get rid of.
Yeah,
it can't be used.
You know, in the 80s, they caught a lot of recyclers just sending it to China. So they just threw in a container and it showed up in China. So they put a stop to that, or 60 Minutes put a stop to that, because they followed a container all the way to China and watched it get unloaded. And it was just the recycled crap.
God, you are a news hound, aren't you?
I used to watch that, yeah. And I believe that happened because it was just cheap. I know the recycling business because I know people in the garbage business.
Yeah, and, well, I worked at a major scale supermarket where they used to, take the boxes and stuff like that, and they'd store them for 2, 3, 4 years till the price of paper went high, and then sell it.
Yeah,
and large warehouses. And now this is just on a local level.
Yeah, but that's a lot of that can't be worth it either, because you never know when the price of paper will go back, and you got to pay for it.
Unless you're in control of the recycling before it kicks in the local area.
I just don't buy that. I think it's
you're not as fakeology on a front.
No,
you know,
I'm not. I think it's a numbers thing. I think it's a waste of time. We've been doing it a long time here. I think getting the wet garbage away from the dry garbage is. I think that's a good idea, because that does turn into dirt, and that makes sense. I think getting the wet stuff out of an incinerator probably would be smart. Probably saves a lot of time and energy. You probably lose a lot of energy getting the wet stuff to burn. But if you take it out, it probably helps a lot. But I'm all in favor. Anything dry, it should be burned for power. And that's what we're doing that now. I don't know what the numbers are, but we're doing that. I know in Europe they do it. They don't throw it in the ground. They burn it.
No, well, incinerators, I mean, when you have a good look at them, they don't even really release dark smoke. Everything's recycled, and the smoke gets used to turn another turbine or to power another carburetor or whatever it may be.
They scrub the smoke. So that's just like your car. They just recycle the exhaust a few times until it's clean. And I think that's real. I think that's real technology that does that.
Oh, definitely.
For that. That makes sense. That's sensible to me. And there's a lot of logic to it. I'm all for it.
Well, sensible. Sometimes, like you mean, when you were talking about the energy, people recycling and it's useless and stuff like that, it occupies people.
I think recycling is just a zero-sum game. I think it's a waste of time, except to get the wet stuff. I think the wet garbage, I think that's worthwhile. And that does, you can turn that to dirt. And that's useful. And I don't have a compost bin in my yard because I just don't want the animals and I don't want the smell. So I think it's better to do that on a large scale, because it probably works faster too if all the stuff is in one pile. It would decompose much faster, especially if you could control the
a few methane explosions every now and again. It probably
I doubt it.
I'm a fakeologist. You never know, mate. No, but the funny thing is occupying people.
I know garbage, guys. The only thing that blows up in the garbage dumps and the garbage in the stations are propane tanks, because idiots they'll bury a propane tank in their garbage. And even if it has a little gas in it, when it goes to the incinerator, it explodes. And those are really dangerous. And then the whole place burns down because the fire is out of control. That happens all the time.
Yes, yeah, there was Shell refinery went up a couple of months ago while I was talking to a lad in the hangout, and he just turned his camera out and pointed out the window and said, oh, look, it's just gone on fire again. But it was that big, they can actually isolate, you know, a square 2 mile of it, because they expect these things.
Propane tanks are really dangerous. It's amazing that we don't mind putting them under our barbecues, because they are really dangerous.
Yeah. I feel that way about electric kettles.
Liquid propane is really dangerous. It obviously will freeze your skin and destroy it really quickly. And if a tank blew up, that's really dangerous. So it's just amazing that we have them in our houses, around our houses.
Well, it was a big thing in the 70s and 80s around it. The gas bottle changed, and the man used to whip it from the back of a truck and he'd drop it on the ground, and even as a little child. I used to look at the guy, I knew there was gas in it, it was pressurized, and when he dropped it on the ground, I used to wince. I used to turn away.
The tanks are obviously sturdy, so it's...
Ah, yeah, but it's just when you know there's gas inside. Remember the basic level we are learning things. So by the time you get to 6 or 7, you know gas is flammable. But yeah, yeah. Nevertheless, there's a. I think the occupying of people when you were talking about the money scam earlier, I think if you can get a group of people to organise around something, whether it's recycling, it's part of an infrastructure. Money's no object to these people who are organising these things. So on a basic level, it's just like if you're in a loony bin, the doctor taking a basket and he's just wove it and giving it to another person in the next cell and saying, unravel that. Once they unravel it, he'll grab it off them and give it to the person in the next cell and say, make a basket out of that. I just see this infrastructure the same way. It's not actually improving anything until the point where it gets to the point where they actually start twisting the tit. And I think that's what happened with nuclear power, you know, in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and all around America. They incorporated of people, they spent lots of money, and then it ruined the community. You know, it shut down coal mines, everything. So I'd see it on a basic level, just occupying us. You know, they'll probably discover a new atom soon, which doesn't exist, and we'll have a new way of technology. Well, or we've got the solar power now.
I don't really know how nuclear affected coal. I don't know exactly what happened with that story.
Well, coal, I think they were saying coal used to pollute the environment, and nuclear didn't.
I think if you burn coal, it's not good for you. I wouldn't breathe coal dust. I wouldn't. I think the problems with burning and breathing in coal dust are real. I wouldn't want to try it, and because that's stuff you can see. I can see coal dust.
More people dying now of other diseases, though, than he was of dying of black lung and stuff like that.
Coal miner and black lung, I think, is real.
Oh, definitely real. I'm not saying it's not. And there was a lot of local coal farms where people doing in coal mines, and you come out of the coal mine and you're living in the smog of the inner city. But all I'm saying there is there is more deaths nowadays from different isolated, anything else than there was. So maybe the coal was making people more resilient to the other diseases. I don't know.
I don't think so. That doesn't sound right. But I think that I think the thing that kills people now, obesity, is that now rich foods. There's so many rich foods. They're inexpensive compared to 100 years ago. You just have more people eating more rich foods, too much of it, and it kills them. It's literally society is almost too rich for most people.
People don't like vegetables. People don't like things that taste bland. Remember, it's not bland. It's actually that's how the vegetable tastes. And, like sauces and, there's one of my favorite meals is cabbage and ribs. It's the most one of my favorite, wonderful meals going. And,
what is it? Cabbage and what?
Cabbage and ribs. So, green cabbage and pig ribs. Yeah. Wonderful. And you don't have to. Everything's perfect.
I always feel sick when I eat ribs because there's so much fat in it. It's like most foods. It's great in the mouth, but once it goes past your mouth, that's when all the damage is really done. Once it goes down and gets digested, it's.
Yeah, well, I'm a one meal person because after a good meal, I pretty much go into a food coma for about 3 or 4 hours.
Well,
I was brought up eating stews, cabbage and ribs. I can make pretty much probably about 30 or 40 dishes, local dishes. All with the same ingredients, I'll just add them at different times and different seasoning. After.
I still don't think veganism is a psyop. I know that John and Chris think it's all a big psyop. I don't really buy into that. I just am still convinced that animal products are probably more harmful to people than plants because I just don't think we were meant to eat animals. Now I still eat them, I still like them, but I think the case is compelling that we're not supposed to eat them. And I don't have compassion in that way for animals. I don't have pets. I don't care about that part. I only care if what I'm eating is killing me. And Dr. Greger, who I watch on YouTube,
you mentioned him a few times.
Yeah. He doesn't look that great to me. Obviously, he looks like he needs to eat more. But I'm not sure if that's because people don't look like him anymore because they're all overeating animal stuff, and that's why he looks wrong. But then if you just walk through the malls, most people look really sick. They're just totally inflamed, bloated. They don't walk straight. their joints are all giving them trouble. So, people are ill.
Because they
eat too much, and they eat too much rich food that I don't think was available 100 years ago. I don't think everyone could eat a steak every day.
Oh, no, not at all. I remember when chicken. I mean, I'm 40. I remember when chicken was really expensive, and that was when I was about seven or eight.
Okay.
And it was twice the price it is now. So, you know, we're going back to mid-80s.
Because now it's industrially produced. Anything that you can put on an assembly line, it's going to be cheaper.
Of course.
If you have to chase a chicken around to catch him and slaughter him, it takes manpower and that costs money. But then you would
stammer your diet. You would calm down on your diet if you knew, you know, you'd have meat, veg, potatoes, all these different things. You wouldn't eat meat on a daily basis, but there would come a time when, let's just say for argument's sake, Christmas, everybody had a goose. You know, these things did happen. People always got a goose at Christmas. I remember my great granddad was there. Had a greengrocer shop in the middle of Manchester.
They're really fatty. Their meat, right?
Oh, they are. But nevertheless, people who didn't eat meat, you know, on a monthly basis throughout the war, yeah, all got a goose at Christmas. So these are the people who are
right.
It was. You're right. So
the rich people could eat meat all the time. Poor people didn't eat meat. They might. I guess they would have cabbage for dinner. That's it.
Cabbage. We made a lot of stocks, a lot of soups with certain bones. I mean, you know, the bones, a lot of the stuff from meat that is really good for you is in the bones. So, you know, an animal get used two or three times.
I don't think anything in an animal is good for you. I just don't.
Well, you see, I'd have an argument there. She's a 90-year-old granny who can still shimmy up a drain pipe and she used to love eating bone marrow.
Of course, you know. There's lots of grannies, but there's lots of dead women at 60 that never made it to 90, you know. You don't know. You can't pull out the one or two 90-year-olds and say, see, that's proof. That's not proof. That's just, they just got lucky or lived a good life. We
could isolate a few Chinese tribes that only eat fish once or twice a month.
I don't know.
Average
studies
age.
Studies have to be so controlled. There's no way to control studies.
No.
To really isolate what's going on, but you can only just speak in generalities.
Okay, then. If you was to quit meat, what would be the first one that you could quit, which everybody else likes? Would it be bacon? Would it be beef burgers? Because I've heard you say you like hamburgers.
Yeah. Well, red meat is the most expensive meat here. We cut that out. And then there's pork. That was probably the same price as chicken. Pretty cheap. Pretty cheap meat. But I think pork is considered red meat, although it looks white, but it's red. Yeah, we cut all that out right now. Just eating chicken. I know chicken is not that good for you either.
No, it doesn't taste like chicken anymore, pal, if it's industrialized, and even on the organic level, it's not the same.
We're using so many spices, though, we don't even taste it. We're loading up on spices in our dinner, so...
I've got a mate who's into about his third month of being vegan, so he doesn't look too bad, but he did have a little bit of excess weight on him, and he's a very active guy anyway, so
yeah,
we'll see how he fares.
Well, give it a year.
I think you can do. I think most people can change their dietary needs for a year.
Report back on him.
I'll see him most days anyway. Don't worry. He'll probably lose weight without me knowing him, without me noticing.
Yeah. Is he feeling better overall, or did he have a problem health-wise?
No, he's always full of energy, but he was the couple of months prior to going vegan. I think it was like a whole mind thing he went through where he just decided to change his way of, you know, life. And meat was one of the first things to leave, which I find is a lot of people's first choice, meat. So it must have benefits on a certain basis. I mean, I'm not.
What is he doing? Is he eating dairy?
Yes. Yeah, I would have thought so because he does like creamy curries, creamy stir fries and things. He's quite into Thai food, so he must be doing some sort of dairy because he does like doing stir fries.
Then he's no vegan. He's a vegetarian.
I mean, meat-free. Meat-free and fish-free, should I say.
He's a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he was another one who didn't know where the word vegetarian comes from. It doesn't come from vegetable. But there you go. Vegetas. I think that means healthy living. You know.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, my brother didn't know. He's been a vegetarian for about 20 years now, and he didn't know. But I've looked into so much about brain now, and people who give the kids like vegan food, if they're not supporting it, supplementing their diet with other stuff, the kids don't look well by the time they get to the age 15, and they're never in the sports team, and they're not usually the SWAT of the class. They're sort of like average Joe from Idiocracy. So I'll stick to my meat. But like I say, that's just me. You know, I'm a drinker and a smoker.
Well, exactly. If you're doing all that, then you may as well eat meat. I don't see how it's going to...
Cheers up.
Seriously, if you're a smoker and a drinker, don't bother with changing what you eat, because I think you're really... I'm not... It might be beneficial because your body's trying to keep the smoke out. It wouldn't be bad that it's not fighting off all the animal proteins, but anyway, I wouldn't worry too much. I think it's still okay just to say the hell with it and live.
Are but you writing my eulogy now as we speak?
If your goal is to try to live as healthily and as long as you can, then I still think it's worthwhile. You know, we don't put water and sugar in our gas tank because we know our car won't run right. So if you know that something is going to poison you, I don't see why you would intake it. Seems crazy to me.
Well, got to take a risk now and again, mate. I take risks every day. I shoot my mouth off, I smoke and I drink. You know, I'm not living on the edge, but I can see the edge from where I'm sat. Yeah, I try. The funny thing about diet is, well, is if you're conscious, you can actually tell what food is good for you, how you feel. You know, if you're craving stuff like what Frank always says, you know, if you're not craving salt, then obviously you must be taking a little bit on, but try and take a little bit more on. So, you know, some people crave different things. I mean, I know people who drink water, like, you know, I mean, 4, 5, 6 2-litre bottles a day just after work, sat down drinking water. And to me, that doesn't seem healthy.
That's also stupid, too.
No, yeah, but you can't tell someone they really love drinking it. It's almost like people with cigarettes keep smoking, chain smoking. I think people get into habits.
Well, yeah. We're very simple, psychological people. We're easily analyzed and dissected, and that's why we're easy to manipulate. The other thing that do you listen to the No Agenda show yourself?
I listen to a couple of minutes here and there when you recommend one.
Yeah.
I don't go out my way to listen to it. I do like the lads. I think they are good. Really do.
Yeah, okay. Well, I put another link on egi.fakeologist.com, and maybe I'll talk about that sometime. But they were talking about how most of Europe's leaders are now childless. For instance, we have England's leader and France and Germany. They all are without children. I thought that was a pretty interesting observation. And they were speculating, well, maybe they're just homosexuals, but they're not aware or willing to talk about the EGI research, which I think is still valid.
Definitely.
So I sent them a tweet.
I'll have a look into that. That's good. I didn't think about that.
Well, I think we're getting close. I think Brave New World has a lot more future in it than science fiction. I think it's a possible blueprint for the future.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You've only got to put it out there. I was saying this to Unreal the other day. You know, as you're building the Twin Towers, you say these two towers can withstand planes hitting them, you know, and then it's hitting the mind. It's in the mind from day one. So anyone who has, you know, digested Brave New World and read, I think it's the first, is it the first chapter?
I don't know. I got to reread it.
I think the first chapter is all about biology.
As a matter of fact, you're really good at finding things on the internet. If you can find the audiobook, I'm going to download that.
All right, I'll have a look for you in a little bit, and I'll put it in your private. I'll put it in audio live stream when I find it. I won't go looking for it yet, just in case.
Yeah, but I will. I'll find the audio book because I think I could listen to that. I think I need to listen to that. I'm not going to read it probably, but I'll listen to that.
I've listened to a couple of bits of it. I went over the chapter the about, you know, the birth process and how they're going to birth people, and that was very cold, very, you know, calculating. So,
yeah, well, I don't think we're there yet, but I think it's definitely, we're on the trajectory for that.
Well, I was reading an article earlier about women who don't fall out of love with the men, but the basically they turn non-monogamous after about 3 years because they're not attracted to the husband anymore. They don't want this. They're not sexually attracted, let's just say for argument's sake. But the way the article was worded almost seemed like it was written by someone of that ilk to do with, you know, Brave New World or something like that. It was Al found it. I'll find the link and I'll pass you that as well at the same time. It's worth reading. It's only a few pages long. There is some sort of template put in place. Whether that's to stop people. Why would they want people to not have children?
Well, it's easier to manage small crowds. And I really think that automation, every business is trying like crazy to automate everything. Their number one expense is people. And I just think robots are getting better and better at doing most jobs. It's happening quickly. They could just put their money into robots.
You don't sugarcoat shit, do you?
That's what I think. And, of course, families had large families to work the farm. But then the combine came along, and you don't even need anyone. You can have one combine do everyone's farm. You don't even need your own combine. Just pay one guy to do your field. You don't need 25 people. Yeah. Including your family. So in Canada, we just bring Mexicans up here to work the farms. They work the farms, and they go back to Mexico in the summer or in the winter and pick our fruit. They truck up here. So they do double.
Yeah.
They do summer and winter. They work up here in the summer and work down there in the winter. And they're all working for us. So you just need fewer people. And I don't think they don't kill people. They just put it in your mind that you don't need or you're being excessive if you have large families. So,
well, we don't exactly live for long anyway, do we? People in charge of this company, whatever you want to call them, a life, you know, one lifespan, providing they don't have another child, you know, it's not a long time to wait, and it is incremental and it is tippy tappy.
No, it happens fast. That's why.
No, I mean, the dying down of generations. You know, only takes 40 years for one family to have, say, 13 kids. To, you know, the next still might only have 12. Six. And then by the time you get to the mid-50s, you've got a couple of wars, different yeah. things, and you're back down to, you know, 2.1 children. It's not a long period of time. I mean, parents were both come from 16 children.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to change a generation's way of thinking. No way. I think 100 years is a few generations, maybe four. And
you're being generous there, actually.
You won't recognize society in 100 years. And I think that's why most old people, they say, I just don't want to be here in 100 years. I don't even want to know what's coming up because everyone's fearful of the future, of course. But
no, enough. All I was going to say, I feel sorry for the old people who don't have kids, because there are some people who get to the age of 18, 19 who've not had children. And you see how they interact with people who've got, you know, 10 or 12 grandchildren and, you know, 5 or 6 great-grandchildren. Yeah. So there is something to be said about family, definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's the basis of society.
Mm. So what have you got planned for the weekend, mate? Anything good?
I'd like to do an audio because I got another really good donation and I don't really pump it unless it's an audio. So I got some encouraging donations. So I really think now that's really forcing my hand. So I really probably have to do just a general audio.
You are a kept man. You are a kept man.
I know. I know. And, might have to do one this weekend. Well, September 11th is Monday. I don't seem to see too many takers interested in doing an audio. So I'll probably do something. Simon Shack put out a new album. I did pay for that. And I was thinking of inviting him to do an album party, although I don't know if he wants to be too associated with me because of all my research in EGI and Flat Earth and whatnot. So I might have to do it without him.
I think if he washes his hands off for that, he's throwing the baby out with the bathwater there, unfortunately.
That's okay.
And he's a wise fella, but at the end of the day, everybody's got their own choices, haven't they?
Well, I think my site has done a lot to promote his site and his research more than most or any. But I don't have time or interest to play his album on my own. So I thought maybe I'll make a show of it and I'll listen to his songs for the first time on a show. Do a show. Do a music show. Do something a little different.
It gives time for people to get their thoughts as well in between songs.
Yeah.
And if you were incorporating in September the 11th, thinking like Sunday.
I know. So I'm going to try and do it Sunday. I am busy Sunday with family. I'm busy. That's why I always try and be busy with family on the weekend because I work most of the week or all the week too long. So, but I'd like to try and do a show because now I do have a few patrons and it does make me feel guilty and obligated, which is one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why I set up the donation button. So
yeah, it could bite you in the ass. It could end up being like the producers where you get that many donations that you have to do. We'll do a springtime for Hitler show just to turn everybody away.
I know. So. It's a double-edged sword, but it's a good motivator. And I don't, I just think it's the best model, donations. Just give if you feel like it. And, it doesn't mean I have to make a show, but it does help motivate. So I really appreciate the, just a few people that do that. I think it's really, really the best media model right now. So I might do that. I might do it. I was listening to B.O.B., Bob, the guy that did the really good Flat Earth. Rap, hip hop. Do you like hip hop?
Not so much the new stuff, but I do like that B.O.B. stuff quite good, especially as I know the terms.
You're the one that, you're probably the one. You dropped so many links. I probably clicked on one of your links. I didn't realize he had a great big compilation album. He had four albums called Earth, Air, Water, and Fire. And I started I tried to buy it first. I couldn't buy it in Canada because no one's distributing it in Canada. It's so stupid. I tried to give the money through Amazon. It wouldn't let me buy it. I said, to hell with it. I'll just go to YouTube and download it, which I did. And I listened to one song, two songs, three songs, and they were all really good because they all had conspiracy lyrics, which I like. And I really struggled trying to understand what he's saying because I just don't understand I guess you call it Ebonics when black people speak. Although on the No Agenda show, the last No Agenda show, they said there's a, what is the language that Africans speak? It's not English, but it's
Patois.
English, or it's not even Patois. That's Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
I think Patois is a French angle to it. No, I can't remember. I'm going to have to go. I meant to go to the link. But the BBC even has a special...
It's not
subpage.
Panglish, is it? Panglish.
It's something like that. I can't. It's Piglish or it's something. And they even have a news summary every day that they do in Pinglish or whatever it is that the Africans. It's just a bastardized version of English.
Yeah, they did the same. They did the same with I think it was Chinese.
English.
something else, and basically it's just like Orang Su and orange juice. So it's almost like it was English, but for people who wasn't unable to pronounce it.
Somebody should go to the last No Agenda show and look in their show notes. They have really good show notes and go look what the heck it was. You can do that because you're a great researcher. Go to
the
last.
Well, you keep saying that. I'm getting a rod from me back here, right? So that's three things there.
Yeah, there's another thing. Go to the No Agenda show, look in their last show notes, and they have so many. They list everything they talk about, which I wish someone for my show would do. Well, you would be the best candidate. And look up what this English version of African speak. But anyway, getting back to B.O.B., great conspiracy songs. I like hip-hop a lot. And, man, I was going to go through his album, too, and just play those songs I really like and introduce them to the audience. Really good stuff.
I think also, if you... play your cards right, seeing as you were going to do this on a Sunday, is that correct? This Sunday coming up?
Well, yeah. You see, the days are getting shorter and colder now, so I'm less likely to go outside.
If I remember rightly, I think Rolo is scheduled to come back on September 11th.
Well, actually, I heard from Rolo, and I asked if it's okay to mention this, but he didn't get back to me, so I'll just do it anyway. Rolo's mother is really ill, so he said he's not in the mood. So he won't come back 9/11. So sorry for everybody who was waiting for him.
No, and good luck to Rolo.
He's looking after his mother. I hope Godspeed to his mother and Rolo. And we're big fans of Rolo, especially when he's sober. So
he's a wonderful man.
Hopefully he'll come back when he's able, but he will not come back on 9/11. So sorry, no Rolo.
Oh well. Oh, LSD33 just come into chat.
Oh yeah. Hi LSD33. I only got 10 minutes left. LSD33, hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Great. How you been?
Not bad. What's the discussion about?
Everything and anything.
Awesome.
What isn't it about? Did you get your microphone settled?
I think it was my internet connection that has been an issue.
Yeah.
But
can you introduce yourself real quick and, of course, do a bumper while I have you? And because I only have 10 more minutes and I have to settle down for dinner.
Sure. Well, my screen name on Discord's LSD33, and I'm a fan of Fakeologist Radio, so I'm happy to be here and chime in.
Fantastic. I think you're a donor as well.
A blood donor.
I think you've donated to Fakeologist. Am I right or wrong? I'm sorry if I don't have the list in front of me.
I have made a one-time donation.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate that. It's really fantastic. So, yeah,
well, I appreciate what you do. So you probably should get more donations than you do.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if it's just a dollar, even if it's a dollar a year, that's really cool. And I appreciate that sentiment and try and do more shows. I'll try and be better. I'll try and be better. Now that people are donating, it's almost an aggravation, but
it's a big blessing. How much do you need to quit your day job?
Oh, no, that would be, I would be a bad researcher because my day job lets me do my research. So if I quit my day job, then I wouldn't probably be able to do the research and therefore wouldn't be that interesting. So yeah, I don't want to quit my day job actually.
Yeah, you got to keep one foot in the real world. And yeah, one foot in the Fakeologist realm because, you know, you need one to have the other, really. I mean, how can you see one without the other?
You really do, you know. And one of my bosses who I consider not a very good person, he doesn't talk properly to his employees, he's retiring today. And I'm thinking, am I going to be as edgy or on edge now that he's going to be gone? Because he always used to aggravate me. He's just like the sheepdog and the coyote and from Looney Tunes cartoons. One doesn't exist without the other. So I'm wondering, well, now that he's retiring and I'm not going to be as aggravated anymore, am I going to be on my game? So similarly, if I stop doing a slave job that I sort of like and sort of good at, would that ruin my perspective? I think it would.
Are you saying you're not going to become the boss?
No, I don't want to. I already decided a long time ago I'm not going to be the boss. No. You know, sometimes you got to just be happy with where you are in life and accept it and not be too insanely ambitious.
That's where I'm at.
I'm a really good slave. I really am.
It is truly a brave new world, as you've talked about before.
Yeah, I enjoy being a slave. I'm sorry. I like a few of my creature comforts.
And Brave New World is all about loving your slavery, right?
Well, what do I want to be aggravated and stressed out and just die of stress?
No.
Think about my lot in life? I don't think so. I'm not worried about Muslims, terrorists, nuclear bombs. I am worried about things I can control, like food that I put in my body and getting a good night's sleep and having enough money to keep the heat on every winter. And if I just concentrate on the things I can control and I'm not worried about the things that they're trying to scare me with, I think I'm going to do okay.
Yeah, I once I see the humor or the comedy in all of this, then you know, it loses all of its weight.
Yeah.
You know, nukes, nuclear threat, you know, man's never been to the moon. Like, you know, these rockets don't exist as advertised. There's nothing really to be worried about other than the effects of mass propaganda on people that you have to live with and deal with on a day-to-day basis.
And I know the people that are running the show, they actually really probably don't have a clue what they're doing other than keeping us running around and not killing each other too much. So I'm happy knowing that they're probably just one level more competent than everybody else. They're not geniuses, but they're good at running people around in circles. So that they're no threat to me. I don't feel a threat.
No. And we're no threat to them either. I mean,
no.
You know, it's just a knowledge game, or, you know, they know something that we don't, and they've got us running in circles to, you know, just even to figure out what they might possibly know that we don't.
Yeah, and they probably don't know that much.
No, I mean, you go through 33 levels of masonry just to find that out, probably.
Yeah, that's true. Well, your audio is really good. Could you just do a bumper and say, my name is LSD33 from wherever you are, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com?
Wow, I'll try. I mean, it's a mouthful.
I know. You've heard it before, though.
Yeah, at least once. Okay, hi. My name is LSD33, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio Livestream on Fakeologist.com. And while you can cut it off at any point, you know, you could edit it up and make it sound even more slick.
That would require work. Could you do it one more time and say where you're from?
Yeah, that's, I realized that I was going to throw it in at the end, but I can do it again. I'm LSD33 from Nouveau Brunswick. And you are listening to Fakeologist audio chat live stream on fakeologist.com.
That was really good. I forgot you're from New Brunswick. Wow. Valley Post.
Oh, yeah. The only officially bilingual province.
Well, I did a cross country. I've done a tour of my own country, Canada, which very few Canadians have done. And we did go through New Brunswick. Right from, right across the Trans-Canada, I guess. And we stopped in St. John, capital.
The oldest, very old city.
Yep. And we were just amazed. The what do you think our biggest impression of New Brunswick was?
The lack of civilization?
Yeah. Well, pretty much. You got the road, the highway was very good. Very smooth, and there are millions of trees.
Yep.
Anyone who tells me that we're killing the trees or we're getting rid of the forests, I just say you're full of it. Go drive through New Brunswick. There is nothing but forests. Endless forests. Endless trees. Endless.
It's our biggest resource, and just call up J.D. Irving if you don't agree.
Whereabouts in New Brunswick are you? Because there's not that much population anywhere.
Yeah, I'm in the St. John River Valley region.
Yeah, and when you go through New Brunswick, you get the feeling that there's nobody there. And actually, I think it's true. There is nobody there. There's almost nobody in that whole province.
No, there's about 500,000 people in the entire province, I think. That's the statistic I've seen, like 500,000.
When I was there, I just felt lonely. I just thought, there's nobody here. There's nothing to do.
It's so lonely. You gotta find people on the internet to talk about how fake everything is.
But I think you guys have a nuclear power plant, or you used to, didn't you?
Point Le Pro. I remember going to rallies as a child, like anti-nuke rallies surrounding that particular nuclear power plant. You know, no more nukes.
Is it still there, though? I have to look it up. Maybe Napoleon can look it up.
Whether or not it's functioning, there must be something there.
Are you still afraid of it now?
That's the thing. I don't think I ever was. Maybe the implications of nuclear holocaust never really made an impression on me. you know, the propaganda didn't work even then. So it's one of those things. Some people are always going to fall for it. You know, some people, they always kind of see through, you know, certain things.
About how old are you?
I am the age that is tagged to the end of LSD.
I knew it. Oh, my goodness. You're our first Masonic listener.
Yeah. Now you know.
Is anything magical happening in your 33rd year now that you know the magic of 33?
Well, you know, it's sort of like Jesus began his mission when he was 33. So I thought, you know, it's time to come out of the closet and become a fakeologist.
And do you partake in the first three letters of your name?
Pounds, shillings, and pence. I have when I've been in England. Lysergic acid. Yeah, I have tried that as well. And
does it work?
Not currently, though. Not at the moment.
And does it work?
Which one? The currency or the drug?
The LSD.
Yeah, it really does work as advertised. It's trippy shit.
So where, if you're a fakeologist, where could you go if you took it?
Come again?
Where would your brain go as a fakeologist if you took LSD? Could you see things that one could not see as a non-fakeologist?
Well, that's it. I haven't put on the LSD goggles since at least, you know, being familiar with your website, you know. So, but I think probably a lot of people that tune into your audios are perhaps people who have experimented with these sort of mind-expanding substances, and as a result, they've been more questioning, perhaps, of the system.
Yeah.
Either that or they've been mind controlled, like Jan Irvin you know, would suggest, and I agree with a lot of the stuff he puts out. But you know, it's one of those things. It's like a gun. Is it a weapon or a tool? I mean, it's how you use it. A drug. I mean, it can be a weapon or a tool for something positive, depending on how you're using it, right?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Sorry, lads, I've got to come in with this, right? I've just put a few
But I wouldn't advocate the use of it, actually, because now that I have looked into where that particular drug has come from, I would be a lot more skeptical of, you know, using it to any great extent or even at all.
Yeah, well, this is coming from a psychologist.
And if you're looking for a psychedelic experience, go to nature, like find out what mushrooms you can eat and shouldn't eat, of course, so you pick the right one. But, I mean, that's nature's
also,
way of showing you
truffles,
that there's other things going on.
Yeah, just let me pipe in with this because this is lovely. A few links in there to the New Brunswick, and I'm not going to murder the name, Point Le Preux Nuclear Generating Station. There you go, that's my attempt. But the last little point of point.
You know, there's a lot of animals around here. Speaking of the wilderness of New Brunswick, there's a lot of animals that I would suspect are eating these kinds of mushrooms. Like, I see bites out of, you know, like the kind of Alice in Wonderland mushrooms that grow in the forest. Something's eating these things. Something likes them.
Well, just let me put this in first. In 1990, assistant plant operator Daniel George Maston was charged after he took a sample of heavy water contaminated with tritium, a radioactive isotope of hydrogen, from the moderator system and loaded it into a cafeteria drink dispenser. Did you hear that, Ab?
Yes, sir. I cut out.
It's all right, mate. I'll say it again. In 1990, assistant plant operator Daniel George Maston was charged after he took sample of heavy water contaminated with tritium, a radioactive isotope of hydrogen, from the moderator system and loaded it into the cafeteria drink dispenser. So there you go. That's just one of the little things attached to
this. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Is it active?
Do you know, I've not even got down to that yet. So far, so good.
Is the plant active?
Seems to be in April 2004 report. Yeah, it seems to be. I'll carry on reading. I'm mute.
Yeah. I have to. How long do you have LSD 33 on the old audio chat tonight?
He's just dropped out again, Ab. I think he had a problem with his mic. He'll probably fly back in a second, like.
Oh, okay. We all dropped. Because I have to drop out for a bit myself. And I think if he's around, if you corral him.
He's back. He's here now. You can talk to him yourself.
Oh, LSD, how much time you got? Because this is great. I've got a new listener. I got a Canadian. And he's 33. And boy, what a catch. What a catch we roped into the audio chat tonight, Napoleon.
Don't blame any of this on me, Ab. This is all down to you. But LSD33, he is a wealth of information, definitely.
This is cool. Well, I got to take a break. So, LSD, or you could type to him or tell him that I'll catch him. Give me an hour. I gotta recharge my batteries. So I'll drop off for now, and we'll reconnect. But amazing.
Wonderful.
And Dell just gave me a link to Brave New World, so I have to find it when I and check it out. So we'll be back. If LSD's around, we'll be back. So just stay tuned, everybody.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Back here in the live stream with LSD33.
Hello to all out there in fakeology land.
You sound a little bit, you know, people always say people sound like people. I used to have a guy in this broadcast called Mark something.
Mark Zuckerberg.
No, it's not Mark Zuckerberg. It's
too bad.
His name was Marky Mark or something. Oh, I forget now. Mark Manuel or something.
There's a name that's been floating around, Marcus Allen, or maybe that's something that's come up on a call before, but I've never tuned into that, although I've tuned into a lot of stuff out there on the interweb.
Well, he's a blast from the past. He's not current. He's been off for a few years. And usually the only people that refer to him are himself. So you're not Marcus, are you?
No. I think it was John LeBon, a regular or sometimes regular audio chatter, him up. And I also heard him brought up on Hoaxbusters call. So I don't think either of them are. I mean, they couldn't all be the same person, but.
No, you're right. You're right. That was kind of a stupid thing for me to say, but yeah, it's.
But I get a sense that there's a lot of suspicion in these realms of internet anonymity, you know, and of course when you mix in all the conspiracy angles and who's a CIA agent and who's not, it becomes a very paranoid environment, and you get a new guy like me coming on, and everyone's thinking, who's this? Is he, he must be the, working for the RCMP there in, New Brunswick, or the, because I mean, they're part of the MI6, I would suspect.
Not all of them, though. I don't think anyone's working in New Brunswick. Let's just make New Brunswick jokes all day long, because I bet you. We always like to joke about Americans not being able to distinguish any particular region on a map. I wonder how many people in Ontario or Canada could find New Brunswick on a map.
Yeah, I think even in Canada, a lot of people don't know where New Brunswick is. And that's all right, you know. Leave us alone. But the thing is, we are influenced by our big neighbors to the west. Ontario.
What about to the south, America? More so, must be more so.
Well, New Brunswick's sort of like northern Maine.
When I drove back from Halifax to Toronto, I never like to go back the same way because I'm bored easily. So we tried to figure out a way to go back to Toronto from the East Coast, and there really aren't too many straight lines. There's no east-west route Really?
Without going through America. You get it.
Well, yeah, for sure you have to go through America. For sure you have to go through America, but even going through Vermont, all the roads, if you look on the map, go north-south. Now, I don't know if that's because of the mountains or because I didn't go through Vermont. So the, and then when you're in New Brunswick, so we had to come back through New Brunswick, and we crossed the border at Edmundston, no, Woodstock and Hinton, that little outpost. And then we went down 95 to Augusta. But one thing that struck me is how the hell did the United States get all that land in Maine that should be part of Canada? Because if you just look at the map, you think, why does the United States almost go right to the St. Lawrence River? How did they get Maine? It doesn't make any sense. And if you do the history and do some research, it's quite a story.
Like, yeah.
I don't remember what the story is anymore right now, but.
Oh, too bad. I was going to ask you to sum it up for me.
But if you look at a map, the northern border of Vermont is a straight line east-west, and I don't know what the parallel is because it's not running along any particular physical geography that I can see. I'm looking now. I don't know what the parallel is. It's got to be...
Like, hold on a second. Are we working on a flat earth model map? Or a spherical one, because we got to get that straight first before we talk about lines of latitude and longitude, right?
No, I know. I'm looking at Google Maps, which is just I don't know what projection they use to create a flat map. Can we agree that all maps are flat?
They are when you lay them out on the table.
Yeah. I don't have a globe in the house. Well, I might, but I don't know where it is. I probably threw it against the wall one day in a fit of rage.
Yes.
Out what I found out.
We all go through that. It's part of the...
it's probably got a big dent in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you look at a line, if you go to Cornwall, Ontario, which is one of the easternmost little towns that is in the St. Lawrence River, essentially. It's a great smuggling point, by the way, for cigarettes, because it literally straddles the border.
That's a tip to all the Hell's Angels listening.
They already know. So you draw a line going east of Cornwall, straight across Vermont, and then you get to New Hampshire, and the border takes a wiggly route going north, east, and mostly north. And then it takes another huge wiggly route going due north by northeast up along, basically following parallel to the St. Lawrence River. And literally, Maine takes a huge chunk out of what should be Canada. And it really, really take away from, if they just kept drawing the line from New Hampshire straight across, it would just be north of Bangor, Maine, which is their biggest city. And it would go right to just south of St. John, New Brunswick. But
the borders are all quite arbitrary, aren't they? I mean, it's just where are you going to draw the line? And I know it has something to do with the colonialists coming up north and settling these parts because they were booted out after the Civil War.
I kind of go on hisstory.com. How did Maine get its shape? I think that's one of the biggest questions that people ask. How the hell did they make such a crazy border? And let's see what we can find here. Well, let's just do a few things. It became a state on the Ides of March, 1820, capital Augusta. There's only 1.3 million people there. It's one of the biggest states, 35,000 square miles. It's called the Pine Tree State. Vacation land. Vacation land. Well, maybe for the summer. In the winter, forget about it. It's freezing. The motto is Dirigo, I lead. The tree is the white pine. The flower is the white pine cone. How original. And the bird is the chickadee. All right.
I thought the chickadee was New Brunswick's, but maybe we share that.
Well, I think Maine could be New Brunswick. Let's be honest. Maine should be New Brunswick.
I think the whole East Coast, you know, the New England area would all make a good country of its own. You know, the New England up through the Maritime provinces.
Well,
because they share a lot of cultural similarities.
Well, just go to America 2050 and look at the map. Let's look at that, shall we? America 2050, well, they don't go up into Canada, but the Northeast is a mega region. Have you ever seen the mega region map?
No.
Well, you just aren't seeing. I'm going to put it in the live stream chat here. Oh, Napoleon's busy with borders. Weird borders. Why? Okay. Well, I just posted a picture of the mega regions, and you are in the Northeast mega region. So when the border is eliminated in the next 50, well, by 2050, it says here, you will be in the Northeast mega region. You will get your wish that you will be part.
So where this is already out there, 2050, this is a done deal. They've already drawn the future border.
Well, nothing's in stone. We haven't hit 2050 yet. You'll have to wait.
But how do they know this stuff? Is it predictions, projections, or, you know, it's not like what they know.
It's not what they know. It's what they want. I live in the Great Lakes mega region. It will be probably the most powerful mega region. It's huge. My mega region has so many big circles, big population circles. It's got Chicago, Detroit, Toronto. You've got New York City, Boston, Washington, which is its own country. You've got the Florida's a mega region. The Gulf Coast is a mega region. Piedmont Atlantic is a mega region. Can you see the live stream chat?
Yeah, I'm looking at this. So, weird borders. Why?
He posted a picture, but he didn't. I got to figure out where the explanation is. Let me see here. It's a treaty. Basically, we got something for America, and Britain gave them Maine. It's part of a treaty. It might be from the War of 1812, actually. Makes sense, because Maine was founded in 1820.
The thing I notice when I look at this map of North America is that New Brunswick in relation to Maine and New Brunswick in relation to the rest of Canada is sort of cut off by Maine. It's like, you know, the northern part of Maine should be part of Canada, because to get from Fredericton, New Brunswick's capital, to Montreal, the fastest route would probably be to go through Maine and then up into Quebec from there, because you'd cut out a big chunk of the trip that instead of going up to Edmonton and into that part of Quebec.
Well, here's some history. In 1779, the British adopted a strategy to seize parts of Maine, especially around Penobscot Bay, and make it a new colony to be called New Ireland. I wonder if Dell is aware that New Ireland was supposed to be there.
You know, New Brunswick means it's New Germany.
Okay. I'm just reading here. Can't figure out.
Hey, here's a great question. What's the price of gas where you're at?
$1.24.
So what do you make of all of this big hike in the fuel? Should I get an electric car?
Depends how many miles you do. I'm in the market for one right now. Because our province, Napoleon, the U.S. states that drink the most. Very nice. I'm looking, our province gave our car plant that makes Chrysler vans $100 million, basically not to go to Mexico. And I think one of the parts of the deal was they had to build an electric van. So I really want to get one because I really want to get some of my tax money back. But it's not working too good. It's been out a year and it's not really out because it keeps turning off, which is a big problem with cars. They can't turn off when you need them to be on, like on the highway. So I'm still waiting. But I believe the hybrid, I think all cars are going to be hybrid in 10 years, which is a good thing.
They're going to phase out the petrol engines, and I think by 2025 they or 2030, one of these, they're saying at some point that's all you're going to be able to buy.
Well, that's the goal, but
unless we stop them,
you have to make goals. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with the theory.
So you think nothing will change? We'll still be driving the fuel combustible engines that we use now, or they will replace this with electric cars by 2030, 2040, like they're saying?
Well, if you go to British Columbia, there's lots of 40-year-old cars because they don't have salt on the road. So they're not going to exactly just make people turn in their cars. But
if you can't buy gas.
No, gas will always be available because you need gas for a lot of other things. But
you're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
However, I think it'll be a very slow process. I'm for the plug-in hybrid electrics. That's what the van I want to buy is, a plug-in hybrid electric. So you can plug it in, charge it. But if you don't do more than so many miles, it's not probably going to be cost effective because you got to pay for the battery. The battery's heavy, so you have to use energy to move that 500-pound battery all the time. And, of course, they're spending money and time to make cars lighter and lighter because that's the only way they can improve mileage, just make them lighter, which is a problem because if you hit something, it shatters because it's all plastic.
In a country the size as Canada and as sparsely populated, it doesn't seem practical to have a car that you'd need to like refuel by plugging in every 200 to 300 kilometers. I mean, think about the distances you have to get between towns in places like New Brunswick and in Ontario. It's huge stretches of land that unless there's going to be a electric refill stations, people aren't going to be able to make these longer journeys on their own anyway.
Well, first of all, not too many people other than truckers go across the country, crisscross the country.
Well, that's
true. They're not going to be electric. Diesel is still the most efficient engine and the cleanest engine in the world. I think it's in its 150th year, the diesel engine. It's not going away. Of course, that's not to say there are natural gas trucks. I see them on the road, but you got to be strategic in where you go because you got to make sure you land where there's a natural gas station. You can't just go wherever you want. I read the Canadian government is giving Ontario millions of dollars to put a charging station every 200 kilometers across Ontario. Ontario's the biggest province in Canada. To go across it takes 24 hours or so. And the idea of putting a charging station across northern Ontario is just ludicrous. Because not only do you have to make it to the charging station, but you have to stay there for a couple hours and charge. Doing that in February when it's minus 40. Good luck.
And it's a waste of time, too.
What exactly are you planning on doing at the charging station for 2 hours? They're not going to have a McDonald's at every one of them.
Oh, they will. They'll have a little button you press on the electric charging unit, and the Big Mac will come out, and you'll be all right.
It's just a pipe dream. The hybrid is a great solution but you're getting two cars in one. A hybrid is a gas engine and an electric engine. So you're buying two cars in one. So you got to pay for two cars in one, which wipes out the savings. So it's a zero sum game. It's just not, it's just a dream to make sense. It'll be really difficult for it to make sense.
The way you're describing it, it makes it seem like it's not going to ever really work, but there's definitely a push towards all this stuff. And I think it's just really another way to get everyone on the grid or into the system of the smart world where everything's interconnected, and electric cars make that more of it fits into that sort of smart grid reality they want to create.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything insidious about that. I don't see a conspiracy everywhere I look either. So I don't really have an issue with it. In Europe, where 300 million people are packed into an area the size of Texas, I do understand that diesel cars going down tiny laneways of old European cities probably do stink and don't make breathing great. I could see having the little BMW i3 driving around there. And if the average person only goes 10 or 20 miles a day, it's not an issue. It's great. But yeah, North America is way bigger. We have huge distances. And the best way to power a vehicle is with gas because you can move it around and it's cheap to make.
And but we're overpopulated, and burning those fuels are killing us with their CO2 emissions. You know, that this is the sarcasm. I don't know if it's coming out in my voice, but, you know.
No, I know what you're saying. Actually, you have a tiny French accent.
Must be because I'm a little bit, tipsy with my beer, you know. You can tell after I've had a drink, I start getting a bit francophone, you know. Actually, there's not a French, well, there could be a French bone in my body. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah.
I'm an English speaker. I went through the system though. I learned French in school. But I wish I, was able to, hold on to it more. And to do that, you need to use it. And I don't use French very often. Just when I'm on, Fakeologist.
You almost sound a little like Jeff C, the famous Jeff C.
Which one's that?
He's a Canadian, I don't know the name of his channel. He's changed it a few times, but John LeBon is a big fan of his. And, the last parting of the ways, I believe, was when Jeff C said that, the Taiwan plane crash was real. And that's when John stopped following him. And he's just got a really dirty, trashy mouth, and it's not easy to listen.
Are you saying I've got a trashy mouth?
No, but Jeff C's in Montreal, allegedly, and he has a bit of a Canadian-French lilt to his voice. That's the only similarity. No other similarity. But I'm so excited to have a Canadian on the channel because the website is dominated by UK and US, and more Australians come to Fakeologist. Even though it's the same size as Canada, it's just so rare to get a Canadian on. And I was complaining about it, so I'm glad you...
I took your call to arms.
Yeah, I'm glad you came forward and are being counted right now.
But there's not many people in Canada, let's face it. There's only about 30 million of us, if we're to believe what we're told on Wikipedia, et cetera. Yeah. And, you know, that's not a great population base. And so the fact, you know, that there are a few Canadians represented in this sort of milieu is... you know, much to be expected, I guess.
I agree. And we really could just compare it, because the best state to compare Canada to, population-wise, is California. It's almost the same population. So we could really just say, well, how many people from California are on Fakeologist? And that would be a great comparison. So it should be similar. But half of California, I believe, is Mexican. And I'm sure they speak English, most of them, but... would they be interested in fakeology? Because it's a different culture, the Mexican Latino culture.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. But let's go back to New Brunswick, because I'm always fascinated teaching geography to the great fakeologist listenership.
Well, I'm worried we're going to bore everyone with New Brunswick, because, I mean, let's face it, nobody cares about what goes on in Canada to begin with. Because no. We're just, you know, it's the elephant in the room, right? Our famous Pierre Trudeau said that, you know, we're like the mouse and there's an elephant in the room, and that's America. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, we're dwarfed in comparison, and, you know, who cares what goes on?
When America sneezes, Canada catches a cold.
Yeah, he probably said that too.
What a contrast. You're not really old enough to know a lot about Pierre Elliott Trudeau, but What a contrast between him and his alleged spawn who rules us today.
Yeah, he's the Trudeau for a new generation. Because my parents' generation are the Pierre Elliott Trudeau generation.
But things were so much smarter because that's when we had lawyers running the country and public speakers and Jesuit-trained rhetoric people. Now we just have pretty people that are completely vacuous. So they're not even interesting. Like when there was a debate in Parliament with all these French, mainly French lawyers, they all spoke really well. It was like watching a courtroom because there's a lot of decorum and etiquette. And when they said something, it was official. It wasn't a joke and they weren't busy trying to take selfies. It was just a different time. And we really are descending into idiocracy. I have that movie ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's I haven't watched it yet, but
it's turning into a documentary more and more every day,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It really is. And it's sad, but just I gotta play my favorite Pierre Trudeau clip. You might not have heard.
He was a big Castro lover.
Ah, so he says. I know he went there.
I mean, they're probably related, all of the politician acting clan.
Here we go. This is during the FLQ crisis, which was probably a psychological operation. And it was the only time that allegedly Trudeau brought in the War Measures Act, which is martial law. And they actually invoked it in Canada. And people were pretty upset that the army was walking around imposing curfews. And the reporter just started asking Trudeau a little bit. I'll just play 26 seconds because that's the best part of it. Let's just listen. Okay, hold on. Let's actually turn the volume on. Here we go. Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
In the kind of society that you live in.
Well, there's a lot of bleeding hearts around who just don't like to see people with helmets and guns. All I can say is go on and bleed. But it's more important to keep law and order in this society than to be worried about weak-kneed people who don't like the looks of a
at any helmet. Cost? At any cost? How far would you go with that? How far would you extend that?
Well, just watch me.
just watch me. Tough guy.
That was his biggest downfall. He was arrogant to the average beer can Canadian, and they didn't like that. They don't really like being ruled over by an aristocrat, and he was as aristocratic as you could get for Canada.
But at the same time, he was sort of like a man of the people, or at least that's the mythology around him.
Well, I don't think he was ever a man of the people. But he was supposedly trying to redistribute the wealth in a socialist type way.
Have you ever been to the Pierre Elliott Trudeau Airport?
In Montreal, no. I drove by it.
What's the one in Toronto? Oh, yeah, Pearson.
Lester B. Pearson.
Yeah.
He was another prime
Freemason.
Minister. Yeah, who I really don't know much about. And I guarantee you that the people that know that Toronto's airport is named after him, they probably would not be able to name his first name.
Lester.
Lester the Molester.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a song by a Canadian band called Sloan. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I am.
Well, yeah, they have a song, I think it's called Chester the Molester.
Oh, it's Chester, yeah. Yeah, Chester. It's either Chester or Lester that goes really well with Molester.
I mean, it's the only name that rhymes with molester, after all. Or, and maybe not Sylvester the Molester.
Sylvester, yeah. Flystone. Wow. So the last big psychological operation in New Brunswick, I think really good fake story was, I think, the snake story. And I actually was, I actually covered that one. If you go back in the Fakeologist audio archives, I actually called one of the veterinarians that was quoted in one of the stories.
You phoned him?
I phoned him. And I just asked if this made any sense to him. Because the story was that the snakes were
escaped from the pet store.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
And they crawled around. This is up in Bathurst, New Brunswick.
Yeah, where they do have a thick French accent, you know.
Yeah, it's closer to the Gaspé Peninsula.
Bathurst.
Yeah, it's closer to the Gaspé Peninsula, which is the big lower part of Quebec, New France, that juts into the Gulf of St. Lawrence. And I'm only saying that because I'm looking at the map.
Yeah, you're cheating.
I couldn't really draw a map of the area. I'm sorry. Canada's too big to memorize. Okay, guys? Come on.
Too big to believe.
You guys who live in England, you just draw a shape and you got the whole country right there. You only got one polygon. We got so much. It's crazy.
Yeah, but we're all part of the same empire, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. I love the Queen.
Yeah. You got to
Clip that. Anyway, so the reptiles, these monster snakes, I forget the name now. It's just a distant memory. They crawled around, went through the
Were they pythons?
Where, probably, yeah.
You know, Pythagoras, pythons.
Right. And they fell through the ductwork, maybe through a crappy ceiling, onto the floor where young boys were sleeping.
Yep.
And that was the end of the boys, or one of them. And now,
eaten whole or something. You know, like both of them eaten whole by the snake, allegedly.
Yeah, so I called the vet and I asked, he's a reptile or python expert. And
yeah, what was the name of the shop? Something like Reptile World or something like that?
I don't know.
David Eichland? I don't know.
But the guy was really, the vet was really skeptical that this could have happened. That he wasn't skeptical about the story necessarily. He was just more skeptical that a snake could do that. But the funny thing is, because he's not a fakeologist, he wasn't willing to say, well, this is probably a fake story. But he just said it probably couldn't happen like that. And anyway, it was just sort of the beginning of my fakeologist interviewing, and I was just really using it to practice getting the will and to try and verify some of these stories. But
Are you aware of other fake stories in, like, not only New Brunswick, but anywhere in Canada or in your area?
All the time.
Yeah.
I think they do little fake drills all the time. It's hard to sort out which is real, though, because we do have real murders here. And I know that there are people, I think most of the murders here are drug murders, because let's face it, if someone moves into your territory and you're in the distribution of narcotics business, there really is nowhere to go to protect your franchise. You know, you just can't start another McDonald's 2 miles down the road.
Yeah.
They just don't allow that. But distribution of narcotics is a little different. You can just start and claim the territory and defend it. So I do believe that's real, because I do have contacts, and there's been a few murders lately, and I do know someone who actually goes to the odd funeral, because he's from a minority community that's fairly small, so they tend to know each other. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the murders are real.
Now, you're not saying you're connected to the mafia, are you?
No, I just know people that know people.
Okay.
You don't have to know too many people. So the point is, there are real things happening, but it's really hard to sort out what's real and what's not.
Yes.
There aren't a lot of clues. That is the game.
Yeah, it's the game.
But I'm thinking that a lot of stories are staged for millions of reasons. And I can't really remember the snake story too much. I think the number one reason they create a fake story is if a group of neighbors wants a store out of their neighborhood for whatever reason. And I'm not sure I'd want to live near a snake store, despite the fact that they're probably perfectly fine. You know, I'm sure the owners, when they take them for a walk, they put them on a leash. But I think if you wanted to get a snake store out of the neighborhood, you might go to the local Masonic Hall and say, guys, what can we do here to stage something to get rid of this guy?
Yeah.
Can we do a story? And then you get the public on your side, and it basically just drives them out. And then you can make a whole media thing about it and test the gullibility of the public and use some psyops and whatnot. And you can make a really nice psyop stew to make things happen. But we have had things, nothing, we haven't had anything recent. We had, I believe, Lac Megantic, where trying to get rail, like most of the towns in Canada are railway towns. So it makes sense that the train track goes right through the center of town. That's how towns started. But as towns get bigger and modernized, well, all of a sudden having the train track going straight downtown, it's not so convenient, right? You don't want to be sitting at Starbucks and then a freight train goes flying by in front of you.
No, it's only convenient if you're going to hop on the next train and, you know, hear the whistle blow.
But nobody takes trains anyway. So they're really just, they're just pipelines now. Freight and pipelines. They're just inconvenient. So how does a, how would a French town that's probably got not too much money, how would you move a rail line? Well, you could stage an event where you could stage a derailment. And I'm pretty sure we had one in Ontario in 1979, where again, we had a lot of industrial freight. Some of it's dangerous, chemicals, all the crap we use to make plastics and petroleum-based stuff. How could you arrange to get all of Canada to pay for realignments of some of these dangerous train tracks? Well, stage an event. And I think we did have one in Lac Megantic, which is in Quebec. And everyone was involved, the prime minister, everyone. They all knew what was going on.
Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Exactly. I am just one. But I'm more than just.
But I mean, I think you're onto something there. I mean, that would be that's what the line that is always going to get thrown at anyone who is starting to look at things from a larger perspective and see how things connect. And, they need to sway the public, anytime there's going to be some kind of policy change in the government, that they want to bring about on the public, and they need to get people emotionally involved so they can bring about the changes. So they'll either stage something or in some cases just completely, write a fake story and throw a fake picture in, and that's all it takes.
Well, it takes a little more than that. I think it requires many times hyper-realistic drills portrayed as real, complete with LARPers. A LARPer is a live-action role player, and you can call it a crisis actor. But I think some of the productions get very elaborate. And anytime you're doing a trick, and Penn and Teller have said this, if you make the trick so complex that the public, the audience, doesn't believe you would have gone to all that trouble to do it, it's more likely to be believed. For instance, they had some trick where they put cockroaches or some insect inside a very small container, and then they waved a magic wand, and then 1,000 of them spilled out onto the stage. And everyone thought, how could you do that? And the illusion was they spent 2 or 3 days stuffing this box full of these tiny, whatever it was, insect. And because it was so tedious to create the illusion, most people believed it because they didn't think anyone would go to the trouble to create the illusion.
Yeah.
So if government is an illusion in itself, or it's basically a human construct, because you can't really touch it, they're just there, then they need illusions to keep people believing in it. The whole idea that we need people to rule over us. And psyops is the central tool of all non-military governments. Of course, if you're a military government, you could just point a gun at someone and says, we're doing this today. So that's very explicit. We know you've got the gun, you want me to do something. You'll kill me if I don't do it. Let's all get behind it and do it, because we want to live. But if you're not a military dictatorship, then you need to trick people into thinking that's what they want. And you got to trick them all day long. You got to trick them into using money, paying interest on the money. You have to keep convincing people that's what they need.
Yes, yeah, that's true. And
I didn't just come up with this lightly. You know, I put in 5 years of some deep thinking, and I'm still refining my belief system. But I'm pretty sure I got it down pat now.
Well, I mean, we can't say that we've figured it all out or we're never going to learn more. I mean, we're always changing our view or perspective as new information comes out, right?
That's true. And I'm just looking at the map of Maine now. I'm fascinated by it. And here's the funny thing. I crossed, to get across Canada from the East Coast, I am looking at the map now. I went down I-95. From Hinton, Maine. I went through Bangor, which I believe is the largest city. Bangor. And then I got off the interstate and took Highway 2 to Shohegan. And then I took and these are all really, really secondary roads. And I believe I went along Highway 2 to Farmington, Maine, up to New Portland. I zigzagged up 27 through these tiny little towns in the middle of nowhere, past Bigelow, past Eustis, and I crossed into Canada at probably one of the loneliest border crossings ever. It is in Coburn Gore. And when I got to the border, the guy had gone to lunch and it said, wait here. And so, I noticed that nobody was coming from Quebec into Maine. The gate was up. There was no border guard. I think I can't remember if the gate was up or closed, but it looked like there was no one in the hut coming back in.
So you could have just kept on trucking.
Well, I meant no, people coming into the U.S. could have just rolled right in.
Yeah. It used to be more like that. I wonder, do you think that border would still be as slack at post 9/11, or how long ago was it that you did this trip?
Oh, this was after 9/11.
Okay.
5-6 years ago, but I was just amazed. And actually getting across into Canada took a lot longer than I thought, because he only had 5 or 6 cars, he just took his time. Cause I thought, well, he doesn't have a lot of business, so he's going to really spend some time. And I think it took us longer than it should have to get back home. But the point is, it was just so isolated. And the other reason I'm mentioning this, if the border crossing is called Coburn Gore, and then you cross into Quebec, and right near that border crossing is Lac Megantic. It's very close. And I think the year I crossed over is when they had the big event where they had the train derailment in Lac Megantic. So I was as close that year, I'm pretty sure it was the same year, as I ever will be in my entire life to one of the bigger PSYOPs in Canada.
So I'm just looking at the Wikipedia. That was July 6, 2013.
Yeah, I think that was the year I was there.
6-6, 2013. Oh, those numbers. Or 7-6.
Yeah, so we haven't had anything really major in a long time. We had, I believe, the thing at the War Memorial in Ottawa, the shooter. And then the shooter in Parliament, where allegedly the Speaker of the House took his mace and I think bashed the guy over the head with it. It's just, we have some really poor...
Oh, yeah, that was really kind of a weak PSYOP, if we can call it that. I mean, that Parliament Hill episode.
We have some real B movies. I call them, we get the B team or even the C team. And I think because we buy everything from the U.S., we probably buy the PSYOP as a package from whoever does them down there, whatever army or, no, they probably even contract it out in the U.S. too. Like everything else is contracted out. I don't see why they wouldn't just hire a military corporation, a production, an element, from Hollywood.
Yeah, it's all show business.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just taken, there's military contracts given out for show business in sort of the public relations news format now that is pushing all of these agendas.
Mm-hmm. But that's how I came back. So that was my tour. I guess I came across Highway 10 and what do they call the South Shore of Montreal, or what is that? Oh, I can't remember what the southern part of Quebec, south of the St. Lawrence, is called anymore. I used to know what it was called. See, I don't watch the news anymore, so I don't. There used to be lots of stories from all over Canada on the CBC News. Even if there wasn't anything happening, they'd still do a story and make one up. I can't remember what the South Shore Quebec is called, and it's not on the map here. You know, areas like Sherbrooke, which is a very, actually sort of Canadian. I see we have a town in Quebec called Asbestos, too. Obviously, they did the mining. Anyway, there's no one to ask anymore because nobody cares and no one knows their geography anymore. So I unless you might know, just the southern.
No, because I obviously don't know my geography well because you're describing this stuff and I don't have a clear mental picture of this. You know, I need to look at the picture or the map, right?
Yeah, we'll bring up maps, Google Maps. Anyway, how did you... What's your take on 9/11? How did you get to Fakeologist? Let's get that. I only got about 30 minutes left or so. But describe your journey, if you could, for the great listenership.
Well, how about, I mean, I just sum it up in 30 seconds because I know time is short. And
So you got that. You got 30 minutes. You got lots of time. Take your time.
Well, it's one of those, it's like, tell me your awakening story. How did you wake up to the conspiracy? Well, let me tell you a story. No, I think, you know, I got into, someone sent me a link for either David Icke or Alex Jones back in 2007 or 2008. And, you know, from there, it sort of spirals out into a lot of predetermined directions, I now suspect, and some of those directions lead to places like this. And my take on 9/11, it just becomes more mysterious and confusing, you know, the more you look at it. But the main thing is that it's not as presented in the story, in the narrative. It's more of a visual production made by the usual suspects.
By the way, it's called the Eastern Townships, the area around Sherbrooke in Quebec. Sorry. Eastern Townships, everybody. I know anyone who cares. When did you start questioning 9/11? What year was that? How long have you been into this?
So 9/11 happened in 2001, right? September 9th. Did I get the date right?
You got it wrong. That's funny though. Yeah, it's good, good humor. Where's my hi-hat sound effect?
No, I remember that day, and I remember just having
a... Let's do some quick math. You were 16.
I was in high school.
Probably just feeling your oats at that time.
Yeah, and it was just another day, you know. But I remember they kind of canceled classes, and everyone was shuffled into the gym and they're like, look at this TV screen.
Sorry, there's a rim shot.
Yeah, delayed response.
Our sound effects are accurate but very late. You were shuffled off to class?
Yeah, that day.
And they rolled in the television on the rolling platform?
That was unusual, the fact that that made me wonder about it because it's not usual that there's a news event that they bring students into the gym to watch a TV screen about as it's happening, right? Yeah. So that was a strange aspect of it, I think, as I'm looking back on it. But at the time, it just seemed like a wild story, and I didn't really know what to think about it. I think at the time I was just cynical, and I didn't get into any of the significance of it in a historical sense until I got into the research that is on the internet.
And what stuff did you start looking at around 9/11? Did you concentrate on 9/11, or you just sort of bounced around it?
Well, it's just one of those things that is an introduction, I think, for most people into the sort of esoteric, occult, other ways of looking at the news stories.
No. Well, see, now I'm so stupid, like, let's catch him. No, I didn't.
Sorry about that. I was just downloading Brave New World while you were talking. I was sorry about
it. Which version are you downloading?
Delcroix has it on his site. Delcroix, you're familiar with Delcroix? Very famous fakeologist.
Yeah, a view from the bog. Everybody check it out. Good blog.
523 megabytes. Oh my gardens. That's a monster. Somebody should reduce that audio quality. That's too heavy duty. Okay. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, well, what was I talking about? I mean, you got me thinking about Brave New World now, so I'm sidetracked.
I know.
Crank the speaker up so everyone can hear it. I don't remember even this conversation. I vaguely remember it, but
I'm going to that was Psyopticon on Bell's site, actually. I'm going to have to rip that audio myself. Let's see. I'm going to get that going myself. Somebody put it on YouTube. Let me put a link in the show notes there. To Dell's blog. Carry on. Go ahead, LSD.
Sorry there, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Okay, sorry. Dell did put it in the live stream chat. Never mind. It's in the live stream chat. Let's just talk about your... So you were on David Icke, and David Icke brought you to my blog. And do you focus much on 9/11, or are you all over the place regarding?
Yeah, right. I was just saying how 9/11 is sort of the way that you get introduced to these topics, and then you look at sort of the overarching areas of influence that would bring about an event like 9/11, and that leads to the fake side of things and the show business stuff, and then, you know, the banking side of things and how the whole network is run. And 9/11 is just an example of how this stuff is in plain sight for eyes who can see. And, you know, it's interesting to start looking at it through a different perspective. I don't know. I wouldn't say I have the accurate perspective of what, you know, took place then. I mean, we're watching a made for TV movie, and that's the September Clues, thesis. And, I found that a very interesting, documentary, and it was your blog, I think, that tipped me off to that. So, I mean, that really, I think that was a really good exposure of 9/11.
I think so too. So have you listened to many of the fakeologist audios, or are you just starting off recently?
I think I've been listening now for several months. But yeah, I mean, there's always something interesting going on. Sometimes it's pretty active, lots of people talking, sometimes pretty quiet, but
I think that's
I'm sure you appreciate getting a new voice every now and then too.
Oh yeah. Well, people come and go. People, that's how life really is. People come and join clubs and leave clubs, especially fitness clubs. That's their biggest problem, just trying to maintain membership.
This stuff is mental gym. Exercise. Because
it's exhausting.
It can be, but it can also be really funny and entertaining. But
well, it's the new people that make it interesting for me. I like hearing all the stories about how people look into it and how they got into it, how they keep interested in it. That's what I like. Your story, everyone's story. So
But I've always been one to kind of see through the bullshit, let's say, and it's interesting that with the internet there's an exposure of bullshit, and it's out there for anyone who's curious, but still there's so many people oblivious to how much of their reality is just an artificial construct in terms of the narratives we're given, the lies on television, the television, as you put it.
Television, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get it right. Television. All right.
Do you watch television?
I've got one of those smart TVs, which allows me to watch YouTube videos, and that's about the extent of which I use it. But I don't watch TV, no.
So you use your television as a monitor for YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I've done. I got rid of the cable. And that got rid of CNN and Fox really quickly. And I got over-the-air antennas to pick up all the stuff from the U.S. And I think lightning hit my house, and it burned out the little converter that I bought for $20 that turned the signal from digital into analog so I could watch it. And by then, I'd already hooked up a computer to the flat-screen monitor, and I just use the computer to drive the monitor, and pretty much all we watch is downloaded movies and YouTube.
So, yeah, why pay?
We haven't learned back.
Why pay for what you can access freely, right? And there's so much there. I put
all the money into the internet connection. I spend seven.
Right, that's expensive enough. I wonder sometimes why that is not subsidized by the government, because they make you use the internet to access, do everything, right? Everything's on the internet. Everything's online now. And you have to be a part of the system. You have to have an internet connection, but it costs a lot for everyone. So,
well, I spend in my computer days, I even went on the freenet for a while. The internet was free, but it was a dial-up thing. It was slow as all get out. So, I mean, technically, you don't need more than dial-up to get on the internet. If you want to watch YouTube, which you don't need to do, then you need high speed. But if you just want to get web pages, I was getting it up on dial-up, and it was free over the phone line. Pretty sure you can still do it. I think there is a free net still. If you want high-width bandwidth where you're just watching Netflix, which is not a requirement to live, I don't think I'm still a fairly right-wing person. I don't really think the government should give too much free stuff, but there is a free net still, I think.
You're saying there's still dial-up?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, good to know. Maybe so. I'll get a better connection to Discord through
I don't know dial-up. Discord might need a little more bandwidth, but I'm not sure because we're just using voice. I'm pretty sure I used to use Netphone.
This is like a really fancy telephone, isn't it? It's like, we could be using a telephone line to communicate this way, but it's all through the internet now to do the same thing that the telephone could have done. But I mean, obviously there's lots more that can be done with the Discord or, on the internet in general. But essentially, it's talking over a line. But in this case, I'm using wireless, and I don't know how the hell this is taking place.
No, only Tesla knows how it's done because he invented it, of course. That's what we're told. But if Tesla is not real, then you can thank the military, which I'm sure is who invented all this magnetic through the airwaves technology. And the best part for Fakeologist audio that the internet has given is that we have now our own broadcast system, which relies on the internet. Whereas to start our own radio station before the internet would be impossible.
Yeah. Now everyone can have a radio station.
Yeah. Or a TV station.
Yeah, it's really opened up the possibilities, and a lot of people have taken advantage of that and run with it. It's interesting to see how there's a big clampdown now, apparently, on the
truth team. There's no clampdown. That's the lie. There is a demonetization. So if you want to make a living off telling people either truth or lies, Walmart's not going to pay for it. So you better figure out another way.
But what about in terms of with what a search engine like Google can do if they don't want a certain website to be in search listings? They can easily change the algorithms.
That's everyone's fault for allowing a monopoly. So technically the government
should use a different search engine or make our own and convince other people to use it.
Well, before Google, it was hard to find places. There were quite a few search engines. I used a search engine that used all the search engines, and even that wasn't good. Google became big because they had a better crawler. But I'm not too sure how many people come to Fakeologist through a search engine.
What term would you have to put in? Probably Fakeologist. That would bring it up.
I don't actually look at how people get to my site through Google because I need to log in a different way, because before they used to tell me, but now they hold that information back unless I log in a certain way. And because I don't care that much, I don't even remember how to log in to see. But yeah, I think the main word would be Fakeologist, which is why I created the word to make it easy for people to find the site. And now you can just say the name, or I can just say the name without thinking about it, and come to the site. I don't even think about it. The word itself, I just made a buzzword, so you don't have to think too hard to get to it.
I just need to think the thought, and I'm already hooked up to the internet through my mind, so I can just send the search terms directly through sort of, it's an extension of the MK Ultra program, essentially, but it's very effective, and it's the new Google thing. You know, you just hook up your mind to the internet and search, just think about it. It's all in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the band Steely Dan?
Yeah, so they're in the news now because one of the members died.
Yeah, Walter Becker.
Yeah.
They're pretty unknown to most people. Nobody under 30 knows, so I'm surprised you know. So you pass another hurdle,
Well, I'm a bit of a music historian.
Musicologist?
Yeah. I'm more of a musicologist than a fakeologist, if truth be known.
Yeah. Well, the truth will out. So good. That's good to hear. I had no idea their catalog was so deep. I've got a playlist here. I'll just put it in the live stream of 127 songs. And I know at least 30 of them as great songs. A lot of them I haven't heard, but you can take a listen to that playlist there. And I've been listening to a few great, 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 great songs. And I highly recommend. Death is a wonderful way to revisit a catalog.
Did you say a death? I almost was thinking you said a debt. And I was thinking,
But death. Death. You want to reboot a catalog? Kill somebody off, whether real or not.
Yeah, it really gets the record sales going again because everyone forgot about Reeling in the Years.
That was
their hit off their first album, I think.
Well, let's just type in top Steely Dan hits. Top 10 Steely Dan songs. The Boston Rag. I don't know that one. It's number 10. Number 9, Pretzel Logic. Number 8, Bad Sneakers. 7, Do It Again. 6, Peg. 5, My Old School. 4, Hey 19. 3, Kid Charlemagne. That's my favorite song. 2, Ricky Don't Lose That Number. And 1, Deacon Blues. Interesting. Well, if you haven't heard Kid Charlemagne, you should listen to it.
So you're saying Reelin' in the Years wasn't even on that list?
Well, I didn't mention it. Reelin'? No.
Hmm.
It's way up there in terms of quality, though. It's an insanely deep catalog, guys. I had no idea. There's a couple songs that really burned out in my mind. One of them was Peg and Josie. They really killed those off on the radio when they overplay them. I'm a great radio. I've always listened to the radio. That was the first expensive toy I ever got was a radio, a cassette radio.
Yeah.
And I used to, would they call it pirating when you record songs off the radio on a cassette?
Yeah, they used to make a big deal about that.
But no, today they would call that pirating, stealing. But in the day, they never called it that.
It was only a problem if you made a bootleg, like recorded the album off of the radio on a cassette and then started selling it.
Or recorded a concert and sold it. But really, are you really hurting? Or are you helping? See, that's why I think these torrent sites, they're run by the movie business. And it's their best way of telling what movies are hot. Are you familiar with torrent sites?
Yeah. Torrenting was the way I used to download my MP3s.
Yeah. Well, now you just get them off YouTube. You don't
exactly. It's all streaming now. Don't need to download.
No, I don't stream. I do not stream. I like to be disconnected from the internet. So I download things and put it on my hard drive. And then I can move it around. I don't like streaming because streaming gets interrupted. So the point is that YouTube, who are always cracking down on copyright, they're the worst offenders because people put music up there and they leave it up there and you just download it off YouTube.
So you wouldn't stream off YouTube. You'd download it and then listen to it. Yeah. Okay.
I download everything.
It's good to archive things too.
Yeah. Right now I use 4K YouTube. It's called 4K YouTube MP3 or 4K video downloader. It's one of the more reliable ones. It gets updated. You have to pay a few, maybe $10 for it, but it's reliable. And let's just see here. Okay. Oh, Brave New World. I just downloaded that. Yeah, it's 500 megabytes. It's huge. Huge.
I got an email last week saying you've violated a copyright law for downloading some movie, and I was thinking, what was this? I think I might have downloaded it a year or two ago, and they're just notifying me now. Yeah. So I haven't downloaded and watched a movie in at least that long.
Yeah. Well, I recommend a seed box, so it's downloaded. It's torrented somewhere else, and then you just download it off that as a file, because they don't watch for that.
Yeah, and they never used to make a point of catching people who were downloading illegally, in quotations, you know, because I did it for years and no one was getting warnings.
Well, I look at it this way. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, and no one is there to hear it, did it make a noise? And I'm big on paying for stuff, but I wonder, if you download a movie, does it really cost anybody for you to download it? Who does it cost? Because you're not stealing anything physical. There's no cost to the supplier for using it. And you may or may not even look at it. So when you look at it, is that when crime is being committed? How far into the movie do you have to look for it to be a full crime? If you can call it that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's now if you're taking it and reselling it, that is definitely a corporate crime because you're making money off someone else's work. That's wrong. That's clearly wrong.
But yeah.
If I record a song off the radio in 1975, should I be told that I owe someone money for that? I don't think so.
And the thing is, you can get all these from the public library, too, if you've got a library card. I mean, they have all of
the music, the movies. But the theory is the library paid for it. Yeah, the library.
But conceptually, what's the difference? I mean, you're watching the movie.
You're listening
and you didn't
to another
pay for
hour
it.
Of Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
I mean, somebody paid for the movie and then they ripped it and then you download the torrent, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same idea as the library in a way. Someone's bought it and then they're sharing it, lending it.
Yeah, I'm just borrowing it from you. I give it right back when I'm done. I don't have to pay you, and you don't have to pay someone for me to borrow it. So that is my justification for being okay with torrents.
And yeah, and
I'm pretty sure they don't have a leg to stand on either.
If you like it, you'll buy it.
Absolutely. That's why I think the movie industries control the torrent sites. I think they want to know what's happening and what they should promote. If everyone's downloading Game of Thrones, then they're going to push it in the normal channels to make money somehow. And they're using that as a research tool to see what people are doing on the side. They know they can't control it. I think just threatening you, saying, oh, LSD33 just downloaded Game of Thrones. Let's make a big stink out of it. Just that story is great promotion.
Right.
Because
it's advertising.
Because of the you can't have it form of marketing, makes it more desirable.
Yeah, I've always thought that they don't really care if people buy it or not. They want people just to watch it and consume the ideas that are in it. Because they pay money to put commercials in between news broadcasts, right? So they pay millions of dollars to put a movie in front of you that's going to entertain you, but it's going to sell you something, and in most cases a product. But like the movie that people go to the theater for is selling an idea and products, but they want people to consume the idea, so they don't really care if people are paying for it or not, because they, if you look at the budget for a big Hollywood blockbuster, they're spending millions of dollars, and in some cases, they're not reclaiming the expenses on the ticket sales. So it's a big loss. And but they keep making these movies, and so it seems to be a matter of wanting to get out the ideas more than trying to make a profit.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Okay, we only have a few more minutes before I'm going to play us out with Kid Charlemagne. My favorite Steely Dan song at the moment, until I hear another one. There's a couple here on this list I don't even know, so I'm going to have to download them and see what they're all about. But quickly on the flat earth, the ball earth, or something in between, what's your take?
It's a great mystery. At this point, I'm just really skeptical that we're living on a ball, and certainly one that's spinning around. So I don't think we can prove anything, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't mind living on a flat plane. I mean, it's a big question. We can maybe get into that one on another occasion. But I've enjoyed my foray onto the audio chat, and we should say adieu.
Well, adieu means until we die. Come on, I thought you knew French. Au revoir.
Adieu, a die.
Well, before you take off, I didn't want to take off right this second. Just one more. What's your take on EGI?
Yeah, that's another contentious issue.
well, they're all contentious. Or do you want to leave that as a mystery?
I'm aware that there's something very bizarre taking place in the promotion of transgenderism in society at this point. And so I've got questions about that. So I would entertain any theories that can produce some convincing arguments to support it on that topic.
That's a very political answer.
I'm working on my politician lingo.
That was fantastic. I have no idea what you just said, but there's something there, but you don't know what it is, maybe.
You know, to be honest, I think a lot of the examples that I have seen presented as individuals who may be altered, transgendered from the past, who we've always thought were a man or a woman, but now, look, no, the finger, I mean, it could be in some cases, but it doesn't seem like a theory that you can encapsulate or bring everyone into who's in Hollywood. Or, I mean, it's just sort of a matter of wondering, like, where to go with that.
Hmm. Have you read the Unreal EGI thread on fakeologist.com?
Well, there we go. I mean, if Unreal was here, he would say, until you can comment, you got to read it. So maybe I should heed that advice.
Well, good for you. You do seem like you're well in tune with fakeologist lingo. So we're going to have you back. I do have to, it is 9/11 right now, somewhere in the world, including here. But definitely come back. Make yourself a regular here, if you could. We do need East Coast representation on the Canadian side of the border, however wonky that border is. So right now, I think you are the only fakeologist east of Toronto.
Well, I'm glad to claim that position.
I will knight you the Sir LSD-33 of Eastern Canada. I'm going to give you the whole protectorate right now.
And you're telling me you don't have an agenda?
I have an agenda. I have a fakeologist agenda. Yeah, you're very good. You're very tuned in. So you're now Sir LSD-33.
Cool.
Of the Eastern region of Canada. And only if someone emerges in your protectorate would we consider dividing the area up.
Just well, letting you know. I would be very interested in chatting with someone if they did emerge, because it's a lonely world in this department of speculation.
Yeah, it really is. It's really lonely. And but there's fakeologists abound everywhere in the world, and I'm sure they'd be happy to connect with you. You know how to use the Discord. You know it's not that difficult. And you can see there's a growing list. You do have full verified status on the Fakeologist server, as you can see by your orange or 33 colored name on the right side. So that means you can enter the audio chat at will and broadcast to the world on Fakeologist Radio 3.
Wow, I'm feeling the power.
Yeah, and you
that's
you
cool.
You can just see you've got right now Forest Value. You've got Juice Rebooting Christianity. You've got Zal. They're all there right now. You got Delcroix and Napoleon. They're all available for instant, and I mean instant discussion. Back to Brunswick. I'm just looking through the list. Back to Brunswick. Who the hell is that?
I noticed that, and it kind of.
Back to Brunswick.
Made me raise my eyebrow slightly.
Well, I'll have everyone know, if you are not a orange or yellow or red or green color, you are subject to purge. I do a purge every now and then of the membership. So if you're not verified or you have a million user IDs, you will be purged in due time, usually after 7 days. Of not upping your status. And the way you can up your status is come chat in the voice channels or say something relevant in the text channels, and you will always be a lifelong member of the Fakeologist Discord server. Otherwise, you'll have to keep re-logging in and we'll have to keep re-identifying you. So just letting you know.
Tight ship.
Back to Brunswick. You have been put on notice that we will not have any shenanigans while we have a sir in the house.
Well, that seems like a good note to end it on.
And I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it right now, and we are going to take it out with Steely Dan. The song is King Kid Charlemagne. The lyrics are intricate. I have no idea what they're saying, but you can look it up and study it and learn. And on that note, come back anytime.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
While the music played, you were by candlelight. Go to San Francisco tonight. You were the best in town. Just by chance, you crossed the diamond with the girl. You turned it on the world. That's when you turned the world around. Did you feel alright, Jesus? Did you realize that you were a champion in their eyes? On the hill, the stuff was laced with kerosene, but yours was chemical. Everyone stopped to stare at your technical motor. Every airplane had your number on the wall. You must have had it all. You go to LA on a dare and you go it alone.
Could you live forever?
Could you see the day? Could you feel your whole world fall apart and fade away?
Get it wrong. Get it wrong, get shot at me.
Now your patrons have all left you in the red. Your low rent friend is dead. This life can be very strange. All those Dago freaks who used to paint the face, they join the human race. Some things will never change.
Son, you were mistaken.
You are obsolete. Look at all the white men on the street.
Get it wrong. Get it wrong, keep charming me. Get it wrong, keep charming me.
I'm Silverbeam and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.